Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and blind that our quiet on sing able. We're off the bad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly question.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, he, King Shazir's the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Is the dream. The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we the people of the world that bring about true change, peace and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Everybody look what's going. We better stop the children. What's the sound?
On slipping, slipping into the future. You think time was slipping on a banana peel? Well, you might after today's or tonight's show. Today or tonight, whatever time it is over there. By the way, do you know that your clocks over there in Europe run 6 minutes slow because of the type of electricity you got? Look it up. You'll figure it out. You speed your electricity up. You'll get it right. You get the right frequency and it'll run right on time. You know, it's amazing. But anyway, so 1318, what is it? You know, it's I did a video series quite some time back. I posted some links over there in the Super Chat room. So if you're over there to People for People, I haven't had the opportunity to post all these links over there in your chat room. But there's a video playlist of a series that I did called 1318, and it's 6 videos long. And you really have to pay attention in the deal in order to keep up with it, because it just keeps moving along. But by the time you get down to the last video, it should have your gears ticking in that machine they call your brain. It's very interesting. See, there are people out there that think that, evolution was the way that life started, and there's people out there that think that creation is the way that life started, and there's people out there that believe that there's a massive energy source out there that we're all one with, and there's people that believe in all different types of things. But one thing stands true, and is irrefutable, is that every single thing out there in this world can be calculated mathematically. It blows my doors off. I was sitting there minding my own affairs one day, and I happened to look up at the clock. And keep in mind, I'm a guy that has a slight bit of brain damage, and so math is not something that that I can, you know, deal with very good. Now, I can do like adding and subtracting and basic math and stuff like that, but my brain is just not mathematically inclined. And I have absolutely zero sense of time. I could sit here and talk with you for days and it wouldn't even realize how long I'd actually been there. I could, unless I'm looking at a clock and keeping close tabs on it, which I always have to have a watch around me or a clock if I want to try to be on time so that my wife don't beat me toothless when I'm late for dinner. Well, that's one of my flaws. But one day I looked up at this clock and it just blew my doors off. This clock on the wall, which is, the old analog clocks, which used to be on every wall of every school building and every office and every, house and all this kind of stuff. Clocks everywhere. But what's the big deal about a clock? Well, when I looked at this clock, I saw something that I'd never in my entire life ever noticed. I saw the most amazing calculator in the history of time. And the more I looked into this thing, the deeper it went. And I come from a Christian background, and so to me, I wouldn't be one that would be into astrology or numerology or anything like that. And later on, as time went by, I realized that there are other studies of numbers that, biblical meanings of numbers, that the Bible was like just compacted with numbers. Never put two and two together, pardon the pun. But when you start to look into this, it'll blow your doors off how all these numbers just seem to tell a story, just like words. I mean, I could go into example after example after example of different biblical references and the numbers of those deals, and then when you match those up with biblical meanings. I posted a link on BibleStudy.org, and it has a list of numbers that are significant, that they searched, that had meanings about, and that they reference to different deals. But it doesn't just stop there. You got sacred geometry, you got numerology, there's been a study of numbers for as long as I think history has been around or whatever. And so the crazy thing about all this is, when you get down to it, this 1318 that I'm talking about, which is the clock, the code on that clock, it will calculate up any geometrical shape known to man. It will calculate up any word from any book. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you pick something out of a magazine and you start doing the math on this thing, it will blow your doors off of how much this calculator can calculate. And we've been taking these clocks on the wall, we've been using them to get up in the morning and go to sleep at night and be on work on time and all this different stuff right there. And to us, that clock had become sort of like a ball and chain, a burden. You're always racing the clock to get the money to pay your bills and everything like that. But the deeper I dug into this thing, it just became, there were so much evidence that it was just irrefutable. If you take a 360 degree circle and you rotate it 360 degrees both horizontal and vertical, you come up with a perfect sphere. within that perfect sphere at all those connection points from all those different deals, you can calculate up every single geometrical shape known to man in four-dimensional shapes. You can put a perfect pyramid within inside that sphere. And then you can take each one of those points and you can add up the numbers and you get the story. It'll blow your doors off. And you can take that same pyramid and you can flip it in any different direction in a full 360 degrees, horizontal, vertical, whatever, within inside that sphere. You can totally rotate it upside down, do the math, and the math will be identical on the other side. There are so many different things out there. I posted one video in the chat room over there at the Super Chat that will blow your doors off, but it's a mathematical trick. The guy makes a scary video and he talks about demons chasing you and all this kind of stuff. And he tells you to start off at number 12 and pick any number on there. And then he'll tell you to spell out these numbers. And there's, if you take all the numbers, all the letters in every single number on the clock, 1 through 12, you end up with 51 letters in the entire deal. If you calculate up 5 plus 1, it equals 6. The 12 on the top has 6 letters. The number 1 has 3. The number 2 has 3. The number 3 has 5. The number 4 has 4. 5 has 4. 6 has 3. 7 has 5. 8 has 5. 9 has 4. 10 has 3. And 11 has 6. All adding up to 51. Now you can turn this inside and out in every single direction, but the fact is that the mathematical way that this works out was this guy, you could put you could think of any single number on that entire deal. And no matter what you did, the way that he told you to spell out each one from one to the next, it was always going to come out to the number 7. The number 7 in biblical numbers is, it says 7 is the number of completeness and perfection. It has a whole lot more on there. I'll post this link to this this deal so that if you decide you want to reference it, that you can actually take a peek at it too to see what different numbers are, are what. And so, the more I got to looking into this this deal, I decided I was going to do a video series of it. And I put a lot of cool graphics and probably some annoying music to it, but it's not so bad. But if you ever decide to sit down one day and watch every single bit of that, and it'll make you think. It'll seriously make you think. It's mind-blowing, the mathematical code that is encoded in that clock. Tesla said that if you could figure out the magnificence of 3, 6s, and 9s, that you would unlock the mysteries of the universe. 9 being that frequency of the universe that keeps all the 6s and the 3s in together and all that kind of stuff. So, we're all just out seeking the truth anyway, and, whatever you believe God is, whatever you believe that creation is, we're all on this journey together. But the creator of this world must have been by far the best mathematician in the history of time. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter where you read it. You can calculate up every single thing, time, date, places, and biblical references with that clock on the wall. That clock will count from 1 to infinity, both forward and back. Actually, 0 if you want to throw in the... And when you start going back, you can throw the 0 in between the two 1s to separate them. But you can count both forward clockwise, or you can count in the reverse counterclockwise, and it will go on to infinity, the highest numbers that you could possibly imagine, and then some. So, I wanted to share that with you because if you decide to look into it, you're going to unlock something in your mind that's just going to blow your doors off. And yeah, really have to kind of be patient with the videos. I like watching them. It's really interesting because it shows all the different things, like the 1318 portion of it, where if you actually look at that clock and you calculate 12 plus 1 is 13, 11 plus 2 is 13, 10 plus 3 is 13, 9 plus 4 is 13, 8 plus 5 is 13, and 7 plus 6 is 13, and then you go into the 18s and all that. But it even gets even more in depth than that. It just doesn't stop. If you think of the Christian symbol, which is the cross, and you calculate up the number 12, the number 6, the number 10, and the number 2, do the math on that, and it comes up with the number 30. If you go onto the site and you look up the meaning of number 30, it says part of the meaning of the number 30 comes from its symbolizing dedication to the particular task calling Aaronic priest. We initially dedicated this to serving at 30 years of age. It's in Numbers 4:3. God likely chooses this age because it was when a person reached both physical and mental maturity and could therefore handle a majority of responsibility. And the more you get into the Christian and Jewish numerology, it has to deal with number 30 being Christ. So, not saying that's all there is to it. But you take the same deal, you take your cell phone out, and you calculate up using your calculator, you spell out the name with the number pads on there, and you get the same exact result. So for every number there in every alphabet from every different nation, there's a number equated to every single, it don't matter which language that you're talking about, there's a number equated to it, like in our alphabet A, B, C, you know, 1, 2, 3. And so with that said, for the clock on the wall and the cell phone in your hand with the calculator on it to be that precise, you can calculate up anything with that clock on the wall. You can do the same thing with that cell phone in your hand. Those numbers, they match. So with that said, I'm not here alone. Hi, Barbara. Hi, Patty. How y'all doing?
Hey there. Hey there, everybody.
So what do you think of that madness?
Hey, doing good.
You ever heard of the Fibonacci sequence? I can't even say it.
Oh, sure. Fibonacci.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about numerology and different types of studies of numbers and all that kind of stuff, it's pretty ironic that all these numbers equate to meanings for different people and all this kind of stuff. But to be as accurate with those numbers, I have a, somewhere around here, I have a piece of paper. Hold on. Alright, there was a website that I used to have linked to the deal where I originally started my research on this deal. And the number 30 that I was talking about earlier, when you go to look it up on their list, where's it at? The number 30 on this one specific website stood for the blood of Christ and dedication. And like I said, if you calculate up that, you can calculate up a cross on there. You can calculate up the Star of David. It just it goes on forever. But all these numbers, somebody out there, not just one from like different numerologies or different studies of deal, but every religion out there, whatever you want to call it. All these numbers are universal all the way across. It's as if the whole entire thing was mathematical. Everything. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's very intriguing. I've looked a little bit about into the Fibonacci numbers, the Golden Pie, and the Golden Rule, and so on and so forth. But it seems that there's what we call the great mysterious or the great mystery, you know. There's synchronicity within all of this creation, which is pretty awesome. And to understand the math of it all really takes you very deep into this. I'm going to call it sacred creation because, more recently scientists have admitted, and why I say admitted, because this is a big leap for them, is to actually say and make the statement that there was an intelligence involved in this creation. So in that intelligence, you can call it what you want. You don't have to give it a name, but an intelligence, that says a lot. Well, you can't deny it when you start looking at what you're talking about. When you start looking and studying the patterns, the basic patterns and the maths and the numbers and everything is in relation and connected and linked so mysteriously, but yet obviously the synchronicity is awesome. Even in the human body, there's the numbers, the synchronicity of the numbers, the measurements. And I don't know.
Well, you're always talking about frequencies. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you're always talking about frequencies. And if you look up frequencies, the word frequency, the vibrations, that's how many times per cycle that something's occurring.
Like right.
Over there in Europe, they're on, overseas, they're on 50 hertz, which is a frequency. Over here, we're on 60 hertz. Certain parts of Europe, their clocks, because the way that they got their power grids and the type of deal, they're like 6 minutes behind. So if I set my clock and they set their clock at exactly the same time, right now, a couple days later, their clock would be 6 minutes farther back than mine. See what I'm saying?
Yes. I'm just looking for this information. Maybe Sis knows. So there is nature's it's called the megahertz or the hertz, the natural hertz, the frequency of nature, which is natural, which the earth herself, it's her frequency, but we emanate or vibrate at that frequency as well because we're part of the frequency. And the early music was at the same megahertz, was at the same frequency. And that was shifted a while back deliberately, basically to corrupt the divine, 432. Patty says, yes, thank you. So that 432 megahertz is nature's natural frequency. All of nature basically vibrates at that frequency. It's song. I say, all of creation has its sound song, right?
Yep.
And that's through, if you want to say, through the numbers or through the frequencies. Words have power, sound have power, well, numbers have power, obviously. There's a frequency to everything, nature's natural sound or sound song, in the musical instruments, they were all tuned to that. To that nature's megahertz, and that was changed. I don't know when either, but this is done deliberately to change to cause chaos within nature's creation. All right, deliberately to cause chaos in nature's creation, and so of course this is like very fascinating to me because I talk about the great creator's vision and dream. And brilliance, an intelligence that is beyond our imagining. So everything, the human body and all of creation has a frequency which is, of course, measurable Okay, so you talk about the Great Pyramids, for instance, and you talk about all the other monolithic structures throughout the world that were made, you know, thousands of years ago by ancient people who had a wisdom and knowledge beyond even what is known today. And so all the numbers match up. They all match up. They all link. It's the same numbers. It's the same measurements. And it's the same measurements like in a sunflower, for instance. You know, it's the same. That's the Fibonacci. You know, you look at the Fibonacci sequence of numbers, and it goes on and on and on. It always comes out to be the same. It's pretty awesome. So we look at this intelligence that has created us and all of this, all of life. And I guess you have to kind of like think on that. Well, what is that? How does that make you feel? Or what does it make you think? You know. And then if you have people, if you have persons who are aware of this and know this, the magic and the mystery, right?
Yep.
And then they have the ability to manipulate these things, because now we're talking about a system that is in harmony and balance through its sequence of numbers and mathematics and sound and frequency, created to be in harmony and balance. Now you have an intrusion that comes in, okay, that corrupts this nature's harmony and balance, you know, on certain levels. So if you think about that, so, you know, it's very interesting to me. It's like, it's sort of like the ratios, the harmonics, the proportions that is found everywhere in music, in light, in cosmology. It's basically a foundational building structure to everything, and it's been used in temples and megaliths, monuments, churches, sacred spaces, altars, tabernacles, meeting places, like in sacred groves, village greens even, and holy wells, creation of religious art, iconography, using this divine geometry. So it's like this pattern, this world pattern of recognition, a complex system. It's of religious symbols and structures involving space, time, and form. Well, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
They were able to do the math and calculate up how to build buildings that had like amazing acoustics inside there for like
right.
theaters and cathedrals and stuff like that. And you know, so the folks up there, you know, in the know about all this kind of stuff like that, they know what we're talking about right here. There are sound waves that you can use that will literally make somebody physically ill. They actually have weapons like that, sound cannons and stuff that they don't just hurt your ears. They got some that they're sending out frequency ranges that make you feel like you're on fire, you know?
Yeah.
And so This isn't new technology, but you know, the mere fact that if you actually think about who could be that good at math outside of some higher power that could literally put, you know, a deal together. Okay, the clock was put together by man, all right, but if you take the sundial and you put the sundial down and you see how the sundial actually works, which another one was already written by man, but the fact that our time, the way we measure time is mathematically precise, whether it's a sundial or whether it's an actual clock on the wall or even all the way to the mathematics that it took to make a digital clock. It's incredible. Where did that knowledge come from? You see what I'm saying?
The most incredible thing is to sit and think about the fact that in order to have this universe and this perfect system that was built upon frequency and upon the golden ratio and sacred geometry, so perfect in its design, so perfect, there are no flaws. Everything that exists for a purpose. It has a reason to be. There is nothing that has been created that does not serve in some way the cycle of life throughout the universe. The thought, the computation, the ability to even envision that type of a complete system, that is intelligence that we have, we cannot possibly ever even conceive of. I mean, the intelligence behind it, I think about this a lot, that the intelligence that created life as we know it within the universe and within our own realm here in our part of the universe, and we only understand a modicum, just a tiny modicum of understanding of life as we are part of it. We don't even understand the full realm and reach of what we do. We don't see that far. We're like the snake in the grass that only sees and smells what's in front of his nose. You know, and I don't mean snake in a bad way. I'm just saying that that's where we are in our evolution of knowledge. But what it was that created this system is so far beyond our ability to even comprehend. I mean, it's
maybe
my
it's a giant computer.
It's got to be something so, so, so brilliant that there could never be any way that we could understand it. At least not in this primitive form that we're in right now, you know?
Yeah, that's why we call it the great mystery.
Yeah.
Because it's mysterious. It's the great mystery. It's not a little mystery. It's a great, great, great mystery beyond our human comprehension. And I think we're only allowed tiny portions, you know, and I think it depends on our development as a human species as to how much we are allowed to know or suddenly wake up to, right? I mean, I just feel that it's almost like it would be overload. How do you deal with this type of knowledge, you know?
We can't possibly. We can't possibly.
We can't possibly. It's like when I carry sacred items. I carry the sacred pipe, you know, the Chenumpo Wakam, which is a power, unknown power. It's spoken to be an unknown power. And many people carry what we call medicines, sacred medicines or holy medicines, which have certain powers. For instance, sacred stones. I'm a keeper of the sacred stones, and each one of the stones has a frequency. It has a spirit within it. And we learn from these elements. The elements of the universe, of the world, of this creation, are teachers for us. But we have to take that step and participate in this universal, you know, experiment. I guess you want to say it. Life is like an experiment. It's an adventure, and we are all seeking something, you know, and there's so many teachers there. So it's sort of like at the different levels that you reach as in your human experience, that is when you start to receive a little extra piece of this great mystery. And as you advance more and more and open more and advance your reaching out and your abilities to see, to hear, to feel, to sense things, you receive another little piece of this great mystery. It's just like a child, you know, like we're children, and how we learn as a child incrementally, little bit tiny steps, we learn things, you know, and we have those aha moments, you know. And this is like an enormous school. That's why we call this a school, right? We are in school, and there's no books here, in my estimation. This is all an opportunity, basically, to learn of this great creation and our participation, our place here, our significance here. Because in this magic, in this mystery, in these holy numbers and the sequences and frequencies, we are part of that too. And so to find our place, to find our frequency, to find our alignment, and to link with the intelligence, the higher intelligence, and to advance our own experience here as a human being is really awesome. You know, I think this is a key of why we are here. To me, it's sort of like the age of enlightenment that we speak about. Well, that means, the light goes on inside of you. You know, the light is suddenly on, like that aha moment, the light bulb goes on, people say. You know, I had an epiphany, you know, or this light bulb went on, just like poof, suddenly switched to light on. And I saw something, like you were looking at the clock on the wall, Shaz, that you had you know, looked at forever, and suddenly a light bulb went on. You saw something different. You know, it's sort of like, I call it to see without looking. You know, that is, it's a practice to see without looking. You know, you have your eyes open, we see, we think we're seeing, we think we're looking at everything, and we see this, we see a tree, we see a forest, we see the water, we see people. But if you learn to see without looking, you see the frequency of the people, you see the frequency and the vibration and the life force of all of creation. But you don't see it normally because you've been trained to basically keep your eyes shut. That's what I'm saying.
Well, every single faith, every single lack thereof is all represented in those doggone numbers. Let me read a couple numbers out. This is off of one that says biblical numbers. It says number two is union, division, and witnessing. Number six is weakness of man, manifestation of sin, evils of Satan. And number 10 is testimony of law and responsibility. And number 12 is governmental perfection. Well, all of those, if you look at that Christian cross, all of those relate to that. And the number 30... which I read out there earlier, according to this particular one, it says the blood of Christ is dedication. Okay, that's just one story. That's not just you got the Star of David on there from the Jewish Star of David or whatever, and you can calculate up the pentagram. It don't matter. Whichever thing you can possibly think about, those numbers are mathematically precise. The fact that a man put a clock on a wall, just so happens to have 12 numbers. If you calculate up 12, and you look down at the foot of what would have been the cross there, that's number 6. They're straight across from each other. That's 18. You divide 18 by 3, you get the 666, which is supposedly the evil number right there. And so, if you take all these things, one or two of them might be a coincidence. But when you get past all that, and you rotate that thing around a full 100, 360 degrees, both horizontal and vertical, with all these different points where they intersect with each other, and the math is still perfect. And, you know, Chris Maresh in the chat room says, what about pyramids? What makes them special? Well, they're so mathematically precise, and we're wondering how somebody that long ago could have actually built these unless they knew something, because if you didn't build it perfect, it would collapse. One side or the other, it would collapse. And I think that some of the pyramids that are over there that don't, they look sort of like them, but they look like they were falling in, were built after those original ones were there. They tried to replicate
it. Yes, the builders that did the, I guess you would say, the more mathematically precise ones, were built long before, and the next level, I guess, or the next group of persons came, attempted to build them. But you know, the pyramids, not just talking about the pyramids in Gaza, there are pyramids all over.
Oh yeah, everywhere.
All over the world. And they're all in the same, using the same sacred geometry, same
right.
Measurements.
And they all point to particular and precise areas within the universe, within constellations and things like this. The measurements are so precise, you know, of the building. They're built, aren't they built on ley lines?
They are built on ley lines.
Well,
and that's,
yeah.
That's the other thing. How do you know that there are, well, the ley lines are like the life force of the earth, for instance. They're like a grid. We call it the sacred web.
Energy grid.
Well, they face,
they're energy grid, yeah.
They face north, south, east, and west, and then the points in between, northeast, southeast, southwest, and so on, just like a doggone compass. When that pyramid's sitting there and it's facing, one side's facing north and the other side's facing south and east and west, and then the other ones are facing to southeast and northeast and southwest and north or southwest, whatever. I'm getting so excited. I'm talking crazy. But
you're talking a language we don't understand.
Yeah, but the deal is, if you wanted a perfect antenna that would cover that entire spectrum, then that pyramid would be that perfect antenna, because you could get the, you know,
yeah,
signals.
Well, it's beneath what is above, so below. But also there's the see, I have my own theory, and the information that I received through source about these monolithic structures built all over the earth, that they are broadcasters, they are communicators, and they are, that's through the frequency that they hold with their numbers, and also oftentimes the stones that are used are crystalline stones. A lot of them have sound, and the frequency within them have a sound. And so, and they are all connected on the grid throughout the whole of the earth. I mean, that's awesome. Think of that. I mean, so these ancient civilizations supposedly, you know, weren't aware of each other, supposedly.
Well, what did they have for a compass over a couple thousand years ago, or however long the pyramids? What did they have for a compass back then?
Exactly. Well, supposedly they didn't have a compass.
And that's
supposedly.
When was a compass invented?
They didn't have the diamond machines that cut precise of precision in these stones, that they can't even do that today. They didn't have the ability to lift these monolithic stones from hundreds of miles away, supposedly. You know, some scientists are trying to figure that out. They say, well, they rolled them on logs, or even in the monolithic figures, the Maori statues on Easter Island, were supposedly rolled along the land on sweet potatoes. You know, that's what they came up with. I mean, that's in the brochure. How absurd is that? But, you know, so, and the old people say those Maori statues, they walked across the land. What do you think about that?
It don't surprise.
And so I look at this, I say, okay, this earth here, the earth herself has a grid. She has that web where everything is connected. It's like a web upon the Mother Earth, and these are her life force energy lines. The life force moves through these energies. Like our body is like the same. When you use acupuncture, for instance, it's the same as what happens on the earth. If you put a needle in a part of your body and then another needle several inches away, between those two needles there is a connectivity of frequency and energy that brings up the chi, which is the life force of your body. So it's the same thing upon the earth. So, okay, so they planted a monolithic pyramid here, a structure here, a monolithic structure over there, throughout the whole world. Well, what was the use of it? Well, for me, because I know in our culture, we did ceremony at what we call sacred sites. Okay, these sacred sites are specific, and they are on the earth. They are on a grid. So when you do ceremony, when you chant, when you drum, when you sing, when you dance, these are all frequencies. And when you give gratitude and honor in a prayer, that's a frequency. That runs through that line throughout the whole of the earth and links to each sacred site, each monolithic structure, and builds the life force of the Mother Earth. Now, you have these sacred sites being covered over by parking lots. You have the sacred sites forgotten. Nobody goes there anymore. And the Spirit said that the people don't feed us anymore. When I went to Easter Island, there was a sorrow on that land that was just hit me hard. And I prayed for guidance. And the spirits, the ancestors said, our people don't feed us anymore. So there's a sorrow here. Well, how do you feed your ancestors? How do you feed the spirits? Through ceremony, through prayer. We give them food. We make them offerings, you know, sacred tobacco or even our food. This is so important because this is how all of humanity participate in holding the life force, not only of the Mother Earth, but themselves, because we are part of the Earth. Yeah, so this is how this works.
The magnetic compass was first invented as a device for divination as early as Chinese Han Dynasty and the Tang Dynasty, since about 206 B.C.,
So. Well, there's a mystery here. This is an awesome mystery we are involved in. And even our bodies, you know, we talk about the thousands upon thousands of cells within our body have an intelligence. Just sit with that for a while. Sit with that for a few days. And
well,
think
animals
about that.
Animals have a built-in compass. You know, they were created with they fly south for the winter and north for the summer, whatever.
It's in their DNA.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's
that
that's pretty doggone amazing that, you know, animals, and you know, it's kind of like the cat, you know, the cat's got a automatic built-in, you turn the cat upside down and he'll land on his feet every time, you know?
Well, don't do that.
Well, I'm not, but I'm just saying that's...
Well, we have that too. We call it intuition. Now, women have this innate intuition, and even people joke about it. Oh, yeah, women's intuition, ha, ha, ha. But, you know, intuition is an extraordinary thing, and men actually have intuition too, but I think it was dumbed out of them a lot earlier. And not everyone trusts their intuition. But this is a key piece for us, a key element within our makeup, is that innate intuition about things. You know, a lot of people, sometimes they'll have an occurrence, something happens, and then they'll say afterwards, oh, you know, I should have known, because I got a thought about that, or I had a feeling about that. Well, this is what we're working to do today, is to pay attention to these natural feelings and instincts, these messages, this guidance that we get. It's there, it's present for us, but it's sort of like we've been dumbed down and pushed away from our own sensory abilities, the gifts that we were all given. The sensory perception is how we live life here in nature. It's how our ancient people live. You know, the sensory experience here, our relationship to this environment, to this earth. It was, you know, you didn't go to a book in the old days. There were no books. You know, you lived by your instincts, it's called, right?
Well, I think that when the industrial age started, taking full stride or whatever, when the industrial age took off and, you know, all the different chemistry and all that crazy stuff, I think that changed a lot. From just that little time span. I'm not saying that that's where it actually started, but...
Well, it very well could have been. I mean, think about it. So you have the Industrial Revolution, really. What the Industrial Revolution did was took people out of nature. It brought them into the cities.
Well, it's not only that. It's the food that we eat, you know.
Yeah.
In modern day time, you know, if you take in... Here's a big example. Go to the city, look at a lot of people, as many people as you can, and you're going to notice that most of the people out here are sick. Go out to the country where all these farmers are living to 80, 90, 100 years old out there, and try to match the difference of what the difference is between what they're doing and what we're doing. My father-in-law, he was on well water all his life, and he lives out in the country. This water is good water. And we, of course, I live in a city, and you know, I was drinking, chlorine and fluoride, whatever it else they put
you
in the
water. You were drinking corrupted, sick water.
Yeah.
Interrupted its sequence of frequencies. When you see, well, water is natural frequency, and we are naturally in that frequency. If we're untainted, if we're not corrupted, we have that natural frequency. Our frequency aligns with nature, with the original creation.
Well, the same thing would apply to what you do when you're actually watering your garden. A lot of people don't realize that when you water your garden with city water, you're going to have puny tomatoes and everything. But if you take...
Well, you're killing your garden, unfortunately.
Yeah,
here's the thing, because we have ancient ceremonies that change the molecular structure of polluted, corrupted water back to its original frequency.
Well, that's
to
good.
Its original memory. I mean, this is a ceremony. It's a song. There's certain cadence and tonal qualities and frequency to this song. And, of course, the words we know also change the molecular structure from polluted water and corrupted water, sick water, back to its healing, alignment. And that was proven scientifically by Emoto. But in our culture, our Indian culture, we knew these things. You know, we knew that the spirit exists within all of creation, that there is a spirit within everything. And the water has a spirit. The water has a cellular memory, you want to say. Our bodies have a cellular memory as well. And if you let the body be and you feed it, you know, the nature's natural foods and waters and so on, it will renew itself.
Well,
you know, so... The earth is the same way.
That's why I was going to say about that garden thing, that if you go down and you get water out of the pond, it's a lot better than the water coming down to the doggone pipes to your house. It looks cleaner coming down the pipe, but it's not it don't have everything that nature intended it. So if you feed your water your garden out of that pond, you could try this. You could do two different gardens. Water one with the pond water, and water one with the doggone city water, and you're going to notice you're going to have bigger tomatoes on this side with the pond than you will on the other. It's got the nutrients.
Talking about magic, about truth and reality, and you're breaking up. I hear your little voices crackling.
Yeah, I'm hearing a little crackling from you, too. You still there?
Our home.
Yeah, I hear you.
Your home, which sang, which it's the singing, the tone, the tune, the cadence, the frequency of mother, of the nature, is our frequency, okay? But we were given a religion, we were given organized, we were organized on many levels. Our lives were organized now by authorities. You guys can't hear us?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
Skype was saying poor connection there for a bit.
Oh, okay. Because Gaz said sound is gone, but you says we're back, and then Gaz says we're back now. Okay, so I was saying how not only were we removed from our natural home, which is nature, which the frequency, cadence, and tone of mother, of the nature, is ours. It's the same as we vibrate at. And then you have, we were removed from our home, nature, by the Industrial Revolution, which brought people from the earth, from the lands out back, like into the cities where there's a different frequency, entirely different frequency. It's a corruptive frequency. You have the smoke stacks in those days. You have the pollution of the coal chimneys spewing out, choking dust, and you have the people in the factories, you have the energies and the sounds of various other things, so there's a whole other frequency. But we also had we were organized that way and organized through religion. So we were taken away from source, we were taken away from mother, the mother earth, which is our home and our true nature, and we were taken away from our own source of creation, the creator. We were told how to pray. We were told that some man in a dress or some organization, a corporate organization, has all the answers how to get us to heaven, how to bring us peace, inner peace, and how to heal us, and all whatever. So we were separated from nature, from creator, that intelligence, the plan and the creation, the dream vision. We were taken from that deliberately, and here we are today. Our frequencies are often suffering and low. We have illness and sickness of body, mind, and spirit. We are diseased due to what has been happening here. That is why I always say the way to heal yourself, the way to find peace and nurturing and renewal is to go back to the mother, go out on the Mother Earth. She's, this is where it is. This is where the frequency maintains itself.
Let me blow your doors off for a second. So we come from two separate backgrounds spiritually, essentially, I call myself a Christian, but for different reasons why most folks do, but won't get into all that. Anyway, earlier, I think it was Patty, typed in 432. What was that 432 for, Patty?
That is the original megahertz of the Mother Earth.
All right.
Plus, all the instruments were tuned to that same megahertz.
All right, now let me read.
Well, I'm not sure that it has to do with that, because Chris Maresch in chat just put something very, very interesting, and Angel has corroborated in a way. I'm not saying he did, but the King's Chamber was built to resonate. Now that's the King's Chamber of the Pyramid, the Great Pyramid. And the King's Chamber was built to resonate on a frequency of 16.2 hertz, which is the exact octave or second harmonic of the ground frequency. First harmonic is 8.1 hertz. And that is the keynote of Mother Earth. So, Chris, what you're saying there is that is the vibration, that is the frequency of the mother of the earth.
Okay,
and
check
that, yeah.
Check
it out. 432 has to do with our...
well, it's the heartbeat of the mother is 432.
All right, check this out.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah. Check this out.
So there's different... Yeah.
You're gonna like this. If you take the 432, most way that numerology works is you break these numbers down. If there's not something that's already equated to, you can break these numbers down. Like 4 plus 3 plus 2 is 10, right? Alright, so if you look up the meaning of numbers on this biblical study right here, this is what it says for number 10. It says in the Bible, the number 10 is used 242 times. The designation 10th is used 79 times. 10 is also viewed as a complete or perfect number, as is 3, 7, and 12. It is made up of 4, the numbers of the physical creation, and 6, 4 and 6, numbers of physical creation. The number of man as such, 10 signifies testimony, law, responsibility, and completeness of order. It's also found in Genesis as well, but either way, do you see the between the numbers that you got right there and this right here, they're all matching. You're talking about the physical creation, and you're talking about the natural frequency of the earth itself. So that's for two separate deals right there.
Well, this is all connected to the Schumann resonance. You know, it's the 437 hertz in regards to the heartbeat of the mother. Okay, but there's also the sequences of 7.86 hertz to 8 hertz. These are the electromagnetic waves, you know, of the Earth's surface. So there's various varying things going on there, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but those numbers, they're universal. They run all the way across. They tell the same story is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah, they do.
Tell the same exact story. If you look up the 13:18, Revelations 13:18, those numbers, before you ever even read what 13:18 says, it says, here is wisdom, let him that understand count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Well, if you calculate up the 13:18, you go, let's see, where did the ding thing go? One plus three is four, eight plus one is nine, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. It is number 13 if you add them all together. On the clock, the 18 is the 12 and the 6 together, and it actually comes up to the number of the beast. But you go down to the numerology portion of the deal, and it says that number 13 stands for apostasy, depravity, and rebellion. And it says that number 18 stands for bondage. So everything that is in Revelations 13:18 is equated to those doggone numbers. And I'm not just saying that those are just the only... Because some people think 13 is a bad number, and other people don't think it's a bad number at all. And all these numbers, you can still equate to, good things and bad things.
Well, the control system definitely doesn't want you using the number 13, because they obliterate it off of their... they don't have 13 floors, they don't have to have 13 numbers, house numbers, or whatever in their circles that they run in and things like this. So there must be some significance as to why they don't want us, because you know it's not that they don't want it.
Right, they put the fear in us of number 13.
Well, I was born on October 13th.
Well, the thing with what is the 437 hertz is mathematically consistent with the universe. Now, this is what I was looking for before. So, all musicians, for instance, in the beginning, the 432 hertz approved was the standard tuning for all musicians, okay? then that was basically that was unanimously approved in 1881 and recommended further by physicists as well as by the Italian scientists of Grazi, Landi. But what happened was, even though this was approved, music is not tuned at 437 hertz as a standard today, because the American Federation of Musicians accepted the 440 hertz as the standard pitch in 1917. Then in 1940, they introduced 440 hertz worldwide, and then London followed suit. So that basically what happened, well, since then, 440 hertz has since stood the test of time, despite geniuses like Verdi and many great producers and composers agreeing that this frequency, 440, is disharmonic because it has no scientific relationship to the physical laws that govern our universe.
So, I got to make a correction real quick. Krish Maresh tested my math. 4 plus 3 plus 2 equals 9. And so with that said, 9 is 9 symbolizes divine completeness, which is still the same deal.
Well, so if you have the number, Gas says the number 666, the number of the beast, we're told, is actually number, well, I just added we're told, is actually number of man. 6 neutrons, 6 protons, 6 electrons is what we have in our bodies. So mankind is the beast, or that's what you say, Kaz, but supposing man, that 666 is not the beast, okay, but supposing they want us to hate this 666 number, suppose they want us to think that that is the beast, therefore we are hating ourselves, and I'm just going to use that analogy.
Well, the 666, according to the Bible, says it's a number of a man.
A number of a man.
Yeah.
But yes, but I'm just saying the way they manipulate our minds, the way they are manipulating these numbers and using these numbers, like they don't want us to believe anything on 13 except that it's evil and bad things happen. So maybe they're just using this 666. You know, how do we know? I'm just saying. Just saying.
Well, the number 9 also represents the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, according to this deal right here. Regardless, so don't you see how ironic it would be that if all of this stuff was just coincidence, that all these numbers could actually be calculated on a clock, for Pete's sake? I mean, every household has a clock in there. You know, all the government and all the schools wanted to get Christ out of the church, and basically, you can calculate it right there on the doggone wall. Of course, you can also calculate the every other religious symbol in existence out there as well. Within that same, every single thing in existence can be calculated within that 360 degree circle, rotated horizontal and vertical in every single direction at the same exact time, making a perfect sphere. With all these points on there, you can calculate every single object known to man. You can make a four-dimensional pyramid within that deal with the numbers that's on there. My uncle Pat, he's like really good at math. He types in math in the computer and he gets these really cool, you know, three-dimensional geometrical shapes that it's just mind-blowing that this math program and his math skills can actually do this. And that's how those CAD programs work. That's how the 3D printers and stuff work. They don't see like we see. But all of that math fits in that one sphere right there. What do you think?
What we're looking at is, you know, just the question is what do these number patterns have to do with real world application or life and so on? But what we're talking about here, number one, is frequency and energy, and everything in creation is that, including us. So when you have things in alignment with the Fibonacci numbers, or when you have various other structures that are put in place, you know, what it is, this is about the flow of energy. Really, this is about nature and natural and harmony and balance. And these things are then put in place for that reason, to create this energy flow, the life force of everything, the earth, including ourselves. I mean, everything you could imagine. It's really extraordinary that that link I popped up about the mysteries and the science numbers. The Fibonacci numbers exist in everything. The golden rule, the golden pie, in every tetrahedron, triangle, octagonal, pyramidal shape, all these types of things. The icosahedron, they represents water. The octahedron represents air, and the cube represents earth. Tetrahedron represents fire. These are the four elements. It's just mind blowing how all of everything is this extraordinary, you know, like the flower of life. You know,
could it all be just an accident? I mean, like a big explosion, throw all this stuff out. Next thing you know,
listen to the scientists now say it's not random. Creation is not random. It was an intelligence at work. So what an intelligence! Think of that.
Yep.
And why? I guess I'd have to ask why create these various, you know, designs. This design, right? in these particular, using numbers, using math, and how they all add up. The number series is just unquestionable. It's extraordinary in all of creation. So that to me is pretty amazing.
If you make just a basic model of that 360 degree thing, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about as far as how you can calculate everything up, and even to the size of it. If you make it whatever size you make it, it'll be mathematically perfect as long as it's within that deal right there. It's mind blowing. You can count to infinity, both forward and backward. So just as many realities as we got going on right now could very well be for every single word you say, for every single decision you might make. There might be infinite realities for every possibility of everything in existence moving right now simultaneously, side by side with each other.
Think of that. That's why we say, you know, you were like your words and your emotions are like your thoughts, your words, your emotions have a frequency. That's like, it's like you are the pebble in the pond, and when you speak, that those words emanate out from you in ripples and waves and connect with all things, and they have meaning, they have significance, you know. And again, it's a frequency depending on the level of your frequency. Like if you're speaking kind words, that frequency, what that emanates out from you, it has a power. It reflects and reacts with everything and affects everything. And the same way, you know, if you're a hateful person or saying harmful things or even thoughts have power, you know, believe it or not, you know, we are powerful. It's extraordinary.
Ain't no doubt in my mind. That's why I tell people, you're a whole lot more powerful than you give yourself credit for. You're a lot more important than you think you are. It's like a gear in a machine. Every single piece of the puzzle, if you take one of those pieces out, you can't never get the big picture. You just can't do it. You know, something's missing from creation. You're not there, and so that one piece of the puzzle's missing. Some folks think we're reincarnated. I don't think we're reincarnated. Maybe, if you die, you just pop right back where you left off and you start off with the next go or whatever. I don't know. It's hard to say. But, it's almost like we live so many different lifetimes all at one time.
I think we're functioning in the past, present, and future simultaneously. I mean, I've always felt that, that's my sense, my feeling.
I don't feel like when I go to sleep, I don't feel like I ever really sleep. I feel like my body here is resting while my mind or whatever is in the next one doing something else. And so I'm experiencing. Huh?
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, I agree. Sometimes I wake up and I feel like I never went to sleep because I was very busy in the other realm, you know.
It's
I was doing a lot of work in the other realm. Sometimes we meet up there and you can program that to happen, you know. You can meet each other in the dream time, just as you can also program yourself to be lucid dreaming, you know, to determine where you are going and what you're going to do in the dream. You become you're awake in the dream. You're not just being in a dream or observing a dream or whatever's going on. You are actually participating, you know, consciously. That's lucid dreaming.
The English word numerology is of recent origin, coming into existence around 1910 A.D. From dictionary.com for that information. It is a combination of a Latin word, numerus, meaning numbers, and the ending numerology.
Numerology,
which is used to designate the study of science of something, like theology is the study of the God of the Bible. The definition of numerology, therefore, is a general study of numbers. So, it's not like practicing witchcraft because you're looking into these numbers or anything like that. So, you know, whatever. When you talk about numerology and astrology and all this kind of stuff, it's kind of like taboo in our society for some doggone reason, you know, because people think you're crazy or whatever, you know. But we've been taught to think that about each other. We've been taught not to think outside of the box, not to try to, you know, find out, hey, is this real? Are aliens real? Is Bigfoot real? Or any of that, you know, just like the tooth fairy, whatever. But if you go back and look at all the stuff that was in the Bible, and you look at Greek mythology, and you step back and you look at the picture, the big picture, all right, could very well be that all of those Greek gods were the fallen angels, and all of the titans, were like Medusa and Hercules and all that, were the sons and daughters of the fallen angels. And all these different things that you see in like not science fiction, what is it, the other deal, basically, you know, like fairies and dwarfs and all that kind of stuff, could have very well been real stuff, including giants and stuff, you know, talk about giants on the land in those days. So who would want to hide all that history if that was true? Who would want to hide all that history, and why would they want to hide all that history? They wouldn't want you to know something. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. For, you know, example, if there were giants, why would you want to hide that? That would be something that would be amazing. It'd be interesting. Hey, look, 2,000 years ago, there used to be giants on the land, or farther back than that. I don't know how far back Noah's flood was. But,
well, and I've had my own personal experiences with the little people, and also with fairy. And our people talk about the giants that once lived, you know, here on this earth, you know. So it's not really anything new to a lot of ancient cultures, actually, you know, which you have to really think about that. But yeah,
but
the question
it makes
is,
a difference, though. It makes a difference of whether or not, you know, our history was told truthfully, you know. Because,
well, none of our history is truth.
Yeah, well, that's the point I'm trying to get to. If you
were to make up a story right now of our origins and how we got here, it would be just as true as everything else we've ever heard.
Well, I don't doubt it. That's why I say nothing in this world would surprise me. Yeah, an alien can literally land on my front lawn, come up to the door, hand me a Domino's pizza, and say it's on the house, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I'm going to bring you a Pizza Hut, if it's okay, instead of
Domino's. That'll work. But either way, you know, if you really step back and look at the big picture, some of these things that we've been arguing about over, you know, I get it. I understand why people don't like religion, because it got organized, it got corrupt, it turned into a business. Even Jesus shoved over the table at the temple of the money takers because he was supposed to separate Caesar's business from God's business. Don't call it a house of God and then be doing your business there, you know. It's hypocrisy or whatever.
Well,
but
go ahead.
But either way, I hope you can get my point right there. But all of these stories, even giants and all the Greek gods and the Titans and all that, you know, the corruption, like nowadays they're trying to put spider genes in goat's milk or whatever to make some sort of really strong thread or whatever. It's they're manipulating with genetics They're manipulating nature. They're manipulating plants. You can buy miniaturized fruit trees. You can buy half of it might grow an apple and the other half of it might grow a pear. You know, multiple fruits on one tree. That's not natural. But if you think about back in those days, if you had like Pan, which was half goat and half man, or the Minotaur, which was half bull and half man, what were they doing back then? Were they genetically modifying back then like they're genetically modifying now? Because the book also said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So if they were all distorted back there and doing all kinds of nasty and unnatural things, you know, genetically modifying it, and God or the Creator looked down and got mad because, hey, look, you done made a mess of my creation, flooded the whole doggone thing and started off fresh. Now, I ain't saying that's the true history. I'm just saying if you take all those stories...
We don't know what the true history is.
I know.
This is the whole point. I feel they want us to believe we're from monkeys. My ancestors were not monkeys. I'm sorry.
Mine weren't monkeys either. I got some relatives that act like it, but
act like monkeys.
They ain't monkeys.
So why do they want us to believe this stupid stuff, right? Why do they want us to believe they are manipulating our minds, our thoughts, and our beliefs, and so on right across the board? You know, you have to look at that.
Because if we were created in God's image, then they were trying to basically say God was a monkey. You know, so.
Was a monkey.
Yeah, well, he was a smart one if he was.
Well, they don't want us to believe fact, you know, that we are innocent, vulnerable, sacred, little holy beings when we're born, you know. No, they implanted the belief that you're born with original sin, so you're tainted already, you know.
Yeah,
so
they
you're
call
a bad
us animals.
Person.
They call us animals.
You're a sinner already off the bat. You're a little, tiny little person here.
Yeah.
You know. They don't want you to know you have the wisdom within you, that the Creator gave us the wisdom and the original instructions, you know, and that we have the wisdom within us, and that we have more power than you can imagine, like with our thoughts. Our thoughts have power. How do we use our thoughts, right? Our emotions. They're wreaking havoc with our emotions. Everybody's terrified or anxious or whatever, reacting or fearful or raging or angry. So, well, why is that? They want us basically to be food for something. The food that the entities or the demonic entities or whatever you want to call it is drawn to this particular frequency. Everything is frequency. Everything is energy. You know, like attracts like. So we are basically being controlled and indoctrinated on so many levels to deny who we really truly are and the power and abilities and the significance that we are.
But I think we're all on the same doggone path. We're just using different terminology to get there because we've had to try to piece this all back together. What we're and what we really are. You know, I know we're energy. We're pure energy. You know, your body's 3/4 water. There's hydrogen and oxygen. And when you drink that water, there's a reason why you need that water. It's because that hydrogen is fuel and that oxygen is fuel. That's food for the body, and that's what helps you out. And all the other vitamins that you get from every different vegetable or whatever else you eat, those are all necessary parts of that chemistry as well. So, you know, we are pure energy. And there's no debating that. Some people can literally see what they like to call the aura around your body, that frequency, that glow that's around every single person. And it was mind-blowing because I told somebody that I knew they were pregnant 3 weeks before they were pregnant because the lady looks different the moment that starts, that process starts. There's something about that energy that's around that person that is different, that it's not just them anymore.
Her frequency is different. Her energy, her frequency.
I can see that. I don't know how, but I can see that.
Yeah, me too. I have that ability as well, and I also have the ability to tell when someone's going to die. You know,
and you can feel somebody. You know, somebody could tell you that they're not mad, but you can feel that they are.
Someone you know? Can tell you they're telling you the truth, and you know they're not.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's why I said, you know, like me and my wife, we sit there on the couch and we're watching shows and we will answer each other's question before we ever even get a chance to get the thing out of our mouth. It's wild. But
well,
we've been
telepathy.
We've been together so long that we are so in tune with each other. We know when one another's not feeling good or upset. It's not just from the visual that you get, you know, the body's doing, you know, I have different actions and stuff, and you can tell when somebody ain't feeling good, you know, walking slow or, you know, slumped over. That it's not that. It's that feeling that you get when you're sitting there next to each other and you can tell something's not right. It's incredible. But how do you get all that from an accident? How do you get all that from some big explosion that just occurred, you know?
Well, you know, the book says this, the book says that. So-and-so said this, so-and-so wrote that. This book says this, and that book says that, and go to this book to find out what your water dream means or a ladder dream means, or go to this book that will tell you what an eagle means flying over you. I say throw all the bloody books out.
Yep.
I'll tell you why. Because this is a different timeline that we are in. We are in this timeline that where we are meant to become the enlightened beings that we once were. We have these intuitive wisdom and knowledge within us, and you can communicate with nature. You could communicate. And we call it communicating with the spirit or the medicine of that particular animal or whatever. Or go, you know, there are people who have the gift to interpret dreams, for sure. But you have to go sit with an individual who will interpret your dream for you. Whereas if you go to a book that has all these dreams in it, that person doesn't know you. So it's a random book about a water dream, for instance. Well, that may not relate to what you dreamed about water for you in that moment, what that means for you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you have to come. This is the timeline where we are meant to become the wisdom, using the wisdom within us and the ability, the gift to communicate into the realms, into the ethers, and to receive the guidance that is truth. Then you have to discern if that guidance is on, right on the money, or if it's an intrusive guidance or an intrusive energy, okay? This is, again, a tool that we have to learn how to use. We have to become that awesome, you know, person, that awesome human being that we are meant to become. We had all these gifts. We had all these tools. Do you think the ancient people, you know, went to a book when they saw a shooting star or something falling from the sky, or when the wind whipped around in the trees when everything was silent and there was no reason for that, or when, you know, a buffalo came walking up to them and just stood there and looked at them, or when an eagle flew over them or a fox came across their path and stood there looking at them? Did they run to a book? You know, now this is a timeline where we are becoming to become enlightened, raising our frequency into higher beings of knowledge and wisdom, which we all were given, and it's all been dumbed down out of us. Now we look at books, we listen to other people. This authority said to do this. This authority told me we were from monkeys. This authority told me that. Blah, blah, blah. Just saying.
Yeah.
Come back into your own knowledge and wisdom. You have it within you. Develop it. Grow it, renew it, bring it back to a self where you're meant to be. Mm-hmm. We have our own source, you know. To disconnect and detach us from our source, the true source of knowledge and wisdom, you know. And this was deliberate. This was so we rely upon others as authorities for our life, for our feelings, for our future, for where we are meant to be going. The creator and the universe will tell you, will guide you. Why am I here? Which direction should I go? What pathway, what roadway should I take? What act should I perform in this moment, in this timeline? Don't go to a book. You're not going to get that in a book. You have to be able to communicate with your creator, with the source, with the wisdom and the guidance of those that are walking with you. This is how I see things today.
Well, I believe that if we literally took all of our gifts and we started moving towards a world that we could, that I know that we can create, we can do, that all of that would start to come back again. All of what we were originally when creation first came about. You know, God said we were created in His image. So what's that mean? You know, what does that make us co-creators of our world? You know?
Well, I believe that. I believe we are co-creators. Whether you believe what the book says or not, we have a power. We have an undeniable power to create. What we create, what we focus on and believe, we manifest. We create our own reality by what we believe in, how we live our lives. We're creating our own realities. The choices that we make, we create our own realities. You know?
Well, I'm trying to find the Bible verse, but there's a Bible verse that says all these things that Jesus told His disciples, all these things that I do, you can do, and you'll do greater things if you believe. And even the one about the faith about a mustard seed, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to that mountain and tell that mountain to move, and it would move from there to there. And so, you know, why would Jesus say that if it weren't true? You know, that would mean He was lying or whatever. You know, but I honestly believe those words were literal. Whether or not people, you know, trust in the Bible, King James Version or NIV or whatever specific versions, it's not that. It's the fact that how powerful words really are. Even if you're not a believer in any kind of higher power, you have to at least be intellectually honest enough to say that words are so incredibly powerful, because you can take your words and you can lift somebody's spirit up to the highest reaches of what we believe to be heaven, or down to the lowest, greatest, darkest abyss. Those words coming out of your mouth can literally cause physical illness in somebody.
Now, didn't he say you too can do this, but through me?
Yeah.
Through me. Then what does that tell you?
Same thing that it would be as if you and I, you know, together, all of us together, all of us together are powerful. All of us separated, we're pretty impressive. But you know, it's like I was telling my wife just today about. I said, you know, I got this mechanical gift in my mind where I can see everything mechanically. I can see how nature functions mechanically. It's an amazing gift, and so I understand things differently. Imagine if I was also given a mathematical brain as well on top of that. I would become dangerous, because the things that I could actually create with that, both of those gifts by myself, I would become dangerous. So,
I want to stay with this, what Jesus said. Jesus said, you too can do this through me. Now, I'm going to say that, through me. Okay, so let's look at Jesus. What was that? Who was Jesus? Who was this? Okay?
That was God in the flesh, according to my faith.
Well, you can say that. To me, it's
the Holy Trinity.
All right, well, to me, it's sort of like this holy being, or this holy entity, or whatever, angel, or ET, whatever you want to say, came. There's always that. They always have come, by the way. The messengers have always come throughout time. The peacemaker came here on Turtle Island long before Jesus showed up in the Middle East there, long before. And he said the same thing. He appeared in the same manner. He looked the same way, by the way. And he brought the same message of peace, the same message of love, the same message of be one with, okay? Then Viracocha, okay, the creator deity, came even prior to the time that the peacemaker came and Jesus came, and he brought the same message. He came and he brought the same message to Peru, to the Peruvian people, the ancient people. And he looked the same as well. He had a beard, he wore sandals, he was light-skinned. He brought the same message. He brought the same teachings.
All right, well, let me put this...
And the same miracles. So what I'm saying is, I'm talking about love. I'm talking about the, you know, speaking of peace. I'm talking about beauty and joy and compassion and love. I'm talking about that is what Jesus meant. You too can do this through me.
All right, here's where it was in John 14:12. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. So
my interpretation is that he was one with the great creator.
Well, yeah.
He was one with, as they were all sent from an omniscient intelligence that created this creation in such an awesome way that it blows our minds.
Well, I think that you know, the whole thing about, you know, all the different messengers from all the different faiths of all the different... I think they're coming from the same source. So, for me, you know, Jesus was that one. Alright? And, you know, so I'm not trying to discount anyone else's. I'm not trying to, like I say, I don't beat people upside the head with the Bible. I just, because of... you know, the story of Jesus and what it represents and the things that
let's say Jesus was a star being. Let's say Jesus. I mean, you don't have to talk about the Bible anymore. What you believe in someone who came here, who brought a beautiful message, the same message that you believe in, which is peace and love and compassion, kindness, okay? It's like, to me, it's got nothing to do with the Bible.
Well, I mean, I'm saying that this, if our creator, which was able to do all the mathematically precise, amazing things that we talk about, like the flowers that have, you know, these sequences in there and the genetics and how the body is like encoded with, you know, everything, you know, if there was only one word from that being in that book, that one word would stand out over everything else. You couldn't lie about it. You see what I'm trying to say here? It's just not possible. You couldn't lie about it. And so I'm not saying the Bible is the.
I think people are caught up and stuck with books.
Well, I'm just saying that I read the Bible for reference of everything. All right, but ultimately, what I believe in is coming from whatever message that I received from that. It ain't that you know, all these men got together and they discounted this book or discounted that book and they hid truths and changed the history. I found the real message. And that real message didn't necessarily have to come from that book. You see what I'm saying? There were things.
Well, if we are talking about the Fibonacci, the Golden Rule, we're talking about frequency and energy. We're talking about a creation that is mind-blowing and hard to comprehend. We are talking about everything is frequency and energy, you know.
Well, and in saying that, nothing is impossible.
Right.
So there is no way of saying that Shaziz, you're wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no way you can tell Barb that she is wrong.
No.
And there's no way that anybody can tell another person that they are wrong, because nobody's wrong.
That's it. Right. I've been saying it all along.
Exactly. There are no mistakes. That's exactly right.
I totally agree. We're all coming from the same thing, but we're coming at it with different terminology from whatever journey that we came on. And so my terminology doesn't always, you know, even the words that's coming out of my mouth, whenever I say understand and you say interstand, there's a difference because of the way that you understand something and I understand something. And that word itself, understand, means you stand under somebody in a court, right? Well, I don't mean that as offensive. It's just what I've been used to using. It's what I understand. I this whole doggone thing about words can be twisted in so many different directions, and that's what I believe literally happened in our history, that our tongues were scattered, our languages were scattered, that we used to speak one specific language that we all knew, but when we got scattered out there, suddenly you got all these different, you know, like the Chinese and the Japanese and the Korean and the Vietnamese, all in the Asian and the Europeans and all the different languages there and all that kind of stuff there. We couldn't talk to each other. You have to get in there, you have to learn their language, or you couldn't communicate with them. And so when their culture, like Buddha appears before them with a message, and the great white buffalo calf woman appears with your people, and Jesus appears of mine, and so on down the line, or whatever, you know.
Well, I'm going to say it's the same message. it's a universal message that we're talking about. It's a simple message: love, compassion, kindness, joy,
and gratitude. Try not to kill each other or anything else.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a simple message that we're all given the same message. Doesn't matter who appeared or whatever, what books. This is the key piece to me.
Well, I would say one thing that stands clear about all of them. We all believe that there is a higher power, that we were created. That's it. Okay, so
well, most of us, there are some that don't. But
well,
I'm talking about all people
of faith believe that we were created. We just have differences on who or what created us or whatever. So I think we're all still coming to the same, like you said, the same doggone message coming from our heritage or whatever background we came from, and we're all trying to sort this thing out. But in reality, like Patty said, none of us know the actual truth, so none of us can actually say that you're wrong or anything like that. So why are all these people out there arguing over who's right and who's wrong? It blows my doors off.
The only thing I can say,
if we stop looking to find the discrepancies to point out against somebody else in their belief, maybe if we started coming together and just listening, we would realize that there are commonalities within all of these religions that might tell a totally different story, that might bring a clarity that is beyond religion. You know, we know that the further back you go in historical documents and eras and stuff, that you see the same things, that it's like a pattern that is repeated. The stories are repeated. They're repeated all the way back to the beginnings of the knowledge base being available to us, like the rock paintings and such. They tell the same story, but yet with every civilization, the story has changed a little bit, and the names are changed, but it's brought forward in the same way, with the same actors and the same players and the same results. One is a flood, and the other is the destruction. A flood from this way, and then we have the giant story, which is on every continent and throughout the historical documentation.
So
the thing that this tells me is, guys, we all got the same story. It just got mixed up culturally, and if we just got together and started talking about it, we'd find those similarities that maybe might give us a little more clarification. But I don't think we're ever going to get to a place where we can say definitively that I have the truth and I know exactly where we come from and where we're going. That's the great mystery, and it would take the magic out of this wonderful adventure that we have. And what would be the freaking fun of that?
Yeah, so you know? Could you agree that the picture could be so much larger than we can imagine, and we actually need to step back further than what we are right now to see the whole entirety of this big picture? Because we got a lot of hidden...
I don't know. I kind of think it's simple. To me, it's like the universal truth is that we all want peace. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your religion is, really. I think you want peace for your children, for your coming generations. I think you want health. Peace and health, you know. And safety and security. Everybody wants the same thing.
Agreed.
But I guess we're all stuck fighting and arguing with each other to be right about the source of information or
because
our God.
Understand each other.
And
exactly.
why would the sister want that?
We are.
Why would
well, we
the
don't
sister
realize
want
we're
that?
All the same. That's what I'm saying. We don't realize we are really all the same. We're no different.
So why would this sister want that? Why would the sister want us constantly at odds with each other? Because we all want the same thing. We all believe in pretty much the same thing. Our terminology is different. Our languages are different. And the only reason why you'd want everybody to be arguing amongst each other instead of working together is because you knew that their true power was all combined. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I think it's about energy. I think it's about the frequency.
Yeah, but imagine how much energy and what kind of frequency it would be if for some unforeseen reason we all came together. I mean, all of us for one united goal. It would be mind-blowing of what we could actually accomplish.
Well, there's something or someones or whatever that don't want peace.
Yeah.
They don't want that. Because if we did all come together and we all looked at it and you said, wow, you want peace too? Wow. I thought you were the mean people. I thought you were the bad people. I thought you were the evil people. No, I want peace too. I want my children to enjoy, you know, so something, someone, or whatever it is, does not want that unity. It wants the divisiveness and the hatred and the arguing and the fighting and the blood sacrifices and the wants all that lower frequencies, that negativity, that feeds somebody, that makes somebody happy.
It was like the difference between the different cultures, racial cultures, the divide that's been going on for as long as I can remember in history with every single nation and every single person where, you know, like me coming from predominantly white, but I do have Native American heritage through my grandmother and her mom, and so I'm kind of mixed. But either way, as I was growing up, I was raised around people who were telling me things about, you can't trust these folks because of this color over here. You can't trust these folks over there because of this this over here. And so as a child, my mind is being corrupted and distorted. And all along while I'm hearing this, I'm not feeling what they're telling me when I'm seeing these people. I'm not feeling a bad person when I look at these people. But deep down inside, they planted a seed of fear that these people hate me. And on the opposite side of the fence, and maybe for just cause at some point in time, they hated people of my color or my race or whatever because of atrocities that were done in the past. And so, you know, now they look at me different. They raise their kids up. Oh, you can't trust them. You can't trust them. And I'm being told the same thing. With this divide that was going on there. But like I said, you put all the different races, all nothing but babies, pure souls in a room together, and all they want to do is play. All they want to do is experience, and they're curious and all that kind of stuff, and they're innocent. That stuff, I believe, the racism, the hate and all that, I believe that is a trained response from whoever started the lie to begin with. Into the family. There are some families who won't allow anyone from an opposite to come into their family. You know, and that's sad because all of us are people. All of us came from the same creator. Every single man, woman, and child on this world was from the same creator. You know, even if you think we came from monkeys, still, you shouldn't be treating each other the way you do. Ain't no way. You know, because how are we ever going to have peace in this world when somebody thinks that their God said they got to chop my head off because I don't believe the way that they do?
That well, you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing is that religion says that there's a purpose for your being, that the Creator created you, whatever Creator, whatever name that is given, and that you are here for a specific purpose, and that there are rules to follow, and all the rules are very, very similar. So we've got all of these things that match up. The only difference is that when you have a system that is created, not just culturally, but ideology wise. Ideological systems, they are the ones that bring you in and indoctrinate you into a specific, narrow, myopic view of what your life means and what it means to, and what everybody else's life means. It defines what you are and what you are capable of and what you're not capable of. This is what religion does. It makes you conform. Whatever culture you're in, whatever religious ideology is part of that, that's the whole purpose of it, is to mold you and to keep you in a system of belief so that they can then say, this is the law, this is the word according to the Creator, according to Buddha, according to Yahweh, whoever, and when those words are spoken, you become that soldier to that ideology. You become attached to it. You promote it. You believe it. It becomes part of your lifestyle, but it has nothing to do with the reality. It truly does not, because you are being co-opted and taught and brought into an ideology that was created by a man or a woman, not by a deity, not by the voice of God. There is no book that was written by God. The Bible may be inspired by God, as people say, but people told the stories. And the stories are mixed and matched, and they come from different eras, sometimes hundreds of years apart, filling in the blanks. And this is the thing. If we are ever going to go anywhere, we got to drop this thing about that there is some way that we are superior in our ideology, that we in some way have garnered the only avenue of truth that matters, that we hold the key, that we ourselves have the ability to see what none other can see.
Yeah.
Because we think that we can define God, and it's what we've done. We got lost on the way because God was defining us, and instead of us realizing who we truly were, we decided we were going to define God instead, and here we are.
Well, here's my point. I don't trust in man, period, all right, because man is flawed. But here's the thing. If any one book in this world is questionable because it was written by man, then all books are questionable. That's why I have an open mind to question every single bit of information that comes to me. I call myself a Christian, but once again, I call myself a Christian because of a different reason, because I subscribe and resonate to the words that man spoke, whether he be the Son of God, whether he be a messenger or just a man, or even if it was just a fairy tale in a book, that the man said the things that resonate in my soul. I want to treat people good. I want to not kill. I want to not steal. I subscribe to the Ten Commandments. So whether it was from that book or any other culture, that's why I call myself what I call myself, because of Jesus didn't come down here to start a religion. Jesus wasn't even a Christian. He was the Christ, according to my belief. And so with that said, I'm probably a heretic in my belief as far as my fellow Christians out there, but I get it. I don't know the whole story. There were books that probably should have been in the Bible that weren't in the Bible. There were more truths to the story, and I'm the kind of guy that I want all information on the table. I don't want you just to cherry pick and give me what you think is going to make it sound good. I want to know the truth of all of it. And so when I listen to you talk, and I listen to Barbara talk, and other people from different faiths, and even people from no faith at all, I want to hear what they have to say.
Yes.
That's what it is. You know? And I even come down hard on the preachers and the pastors and all the ones with the fancy labels. You know, when they stand up on that pedestal, they're no better than me. You know, okay, we're just standing up here so you can hear us. But I met one preacher in my entire life, one pastor of a church in my entire life, that put himself on a chair in the floor right in front of everybody at their same level, and he talked to them just like we talk to each other, and they discussed the story in the books, and they studied, you know, together. That, to me, was what, you know, a true ministry would be like, where you don't put yourself up there. You're not wearing all these gold and jewelry and asking everybody for money and living in a fancy house, because Jesus said that anytime two or more come together in my name, there shall I be also. So in spirit, whenever I'm talking to my buddy, or even you, Patty, even if you're from a different faith, we're talking about the spirit of him is with us while we're talking. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So that is church.
I've got Chris, who is in the chat, and he missed the radio was cutting out at the time when you were explaining the importance of the 1318 And could you do that again?
Well, like I said, it all started one day. I looked up at that doggone clock, and I saw something that just blew my doors off. And then I spent months after just looking into it deeper and deeper. If you actually go into like Jewish and Christian numerology, which is the study of numbers, there's tons of numbers all over the Bible. And there's tons of numbers everywhere, but it's not specific to the Bible. It's the only reason why I use that particular text is because it shows the accuracy of what it is that I'm talking about. If you go to the clock and you look at the 12 and the 6 on the clock, they're right straight above each other. And those two together, they add up to 18. 18 can be divided 3 times by 6. So that has a reference to it. But either way, you're still looking at the same clock. If you go from 12 to 1, that's 12 and 1 is 13. 11 and 2 is 13. 10 and 3 is 13. 9 and 4 is 13. 8 and 5 is 13. And 7 and 6 is 13. All the way down this thing. But that's where the code started for me. If you add up 12, 10, and 2, and 6, you come up with the number 30, which in Jewish and Christian numerology stands for the blood of Christ. It's not just the crucifix that's on there. It's the Star of David. It's the pentagram. It's every single geometrical shape known to man can be mathematically calculated into that clock. Because of the way those numbers are, that you can take those numbers and you can count from 0 to infinity forward. You can count from 0 to infinity both backwards. You can take that 360 degrees. You can divide it up 9 times by 40 or something like that. And when it's all said and done, you can take that 360 degree circle, you can rotate it a full 360 degrees, both horizontal, vertical, and every single other direction, and you come up with a perfect sphere. Within there, all the intersections of all the ways that you can slice that circle into all the different sections, they will come across with points inside there that you can calculate up four dimensional shapes, like a perfect pyramid within that sphere, a perfect cube within that sphere, perfect any shape that you can possibly think about, any geometrical shape known to man, you can calculate in there. And those numbers that are on that clock, not only do they have the shape of the cross on there, the shape of all the different ones I explained, but when you take those numbers and you look them up into the Jewish and Christian numerology, then they are related to what is on that clock. And that same doggone number, you can pick up your cell phone, you can type in the word Jesus on your calculator, because it's got numbers on there, and then you get the same doggone number, which goes back to the same thing. So that's one massive coincidence, right? Well, you can take this thing both forward and backwards, and you can calculate up every single verse ever written in the Bible. When before you even read the verse, check out the numbers, and the numbers will tell you exactly what that doggone that phrase is going to be about. What that whatever they call them in there, doggone, I can't remember. But it's not just for that book; it's for every book. It's for every word ever spoken, everything in existence, the whole entirety of what they call sacred geometry. It's all in there. Every single bit of it's in there. And it all started off from that doggone 13-18 right there. Which if you calculate up 8 plus 1 is 9, plus 3 is 9, 10, 11, plus 1 is 13. You take that 13, you go to either one of these deals, and the number 13 stands for apostasy, depravity, and rebellion. Well, of course, I was born on the 13th, and so I've been pretty rebellious all my life. Mom said I was her wild child. But either way, if you look at that, and you go around and look, the mathematics behind all this is just mind-blowing. There's a video that I put up there. This guy was trying to do a kind of a scary thing, and he'll tell you to pick a number. He'll start off with the number 12, until you put your finger on that number 12, and then you're supposed to guess any number on there. And by the time it's all said and done, you end up on 7 by the time he counts it all out. And it's mathematically, because of the way that the doggone thing's set up, it don't matter what, as long as you got your deal on that one right there, whatever number that you picked originally, you'll end up on 7. It don't matter. But the mathematics behind this whole entire thing, it's whoever was the initial creator or whatever must have been the most amazing mathematician in the history of time. You can calculate up every single thing in existence mathematically precise. And it don't matter what size that sphere is, by the time you, if you make it a 6 foot in diameter sphere and you have all these points in there and you calculate it up and you do the math, it will tell you all of it, exactly what size that pyramid is from the scale that you did it at. It's mind blowing. And so I did this video series called 1318, which I posted a link over there in the Super Chat room. So if you want to go and watch that, you have to keep your eye on it. You have to watch, and you'll start to see this thing in your head, and it'll blow your doors off. You'll never look at a clock the same way ever again. That clock is the most brilliant calculator in the history of all time. It's impressive. And so, okay, so the clock was made by a man, right? Well, where did those numbers come from? How in the heck could a man figure out that you get all that? See, there's supposedly two gods. There's a god of this world, which is the little g, and there's a god of the universe or creation, which is the big G. Right now, we live in the world where the little g, which is aka Satan or the devil or the dark or whatever you want to call it, is in control of this world that we live in and running amok. And so, you know, we're down here in we're basically going through bondage, we're going through rebellion, we're going through all of what was basically said or prophesied and everything. It said in where was it? Revelation 13:18, it said, "Let he who hath knowledge count the number of the beast." There's different versions of it, so one of them says wisdom, another whatever. But those numbers, before you ever even look at it, somebody out there already figured out a mathematical code to tell you exactly what that Bible verse was going to say before it ever even said it. So, the people who wrote and numbered the Bible, were they math wizards? Were they that doggone smart because they were able to do that? You can, there's another one out there, I can't remember what they call it, another code out there that there's actually a program, a Bible code, and you can type in all kinds of stuff on there. But it pales in comparison to what's on that wall. And those clocks have been on the wall all over. If you think about that clock is a nightmare, because you use it to go to sleep, you use it to get up in the morning, you're going to go to breakfast at a certain time, you're going to go to dinner, whatever, you're going to be running late, you got to get to your job, you got to rely on that clock. We're within a 24-hour scheduled time that we got to be here, we got to be there, and most of us are going crazy because we can't keep up with it. It's insane. So we're living under a control system that is way off the scale of what we actually believe that we live in. It's mind-blowing. If you didn't have a watch, imagine not having a watch. Imagine not having a clock on the wall. You'd never be anywhere on time. So, you know, that don't even scratch the surface. All that babbling that I just did don't even scratch the surface of what that 1318 is all about. It's mind-blowing. And so, who or what was able to calculate all that? Who could calculate up names and dates and birthdays and all this kind of stuff that can... They're right there. They're all in there. Just take that doggone phone out and calculate up those numbers and look at them. And you'll see. That's just a start. Watch that video series, you know. It's crazy. But that's what I saw. And so I wanted to share it with everybody. What do you think, Patty? You still got your mic muted. Did I lose you guys?
No. I was just stuck in numerology here. I was reading up. I was doing a little bit of numerology on me. Speaking about, you know, it all keeps coming back to the same thing. No matter where we go with this discussion, the base is where we need to begin at, and we can go in any direction from there. But I think if we're ever going to find a way to get some type of clarity, and I don't think here in this realm, in this adventure, that we will ever have a complete understanding. We're never going to get there. We don't have the wherewithal. We would have to grow a couple of billion years in maturity, I think, before we can even begin to grasp the basic principles of what governs this universe.
But at least if we see this, we can understand. You know, we already know when somebody's lying to us because we can feel it. All right.
And well, these are basics, though. These are basic things that are they're available to us. They're not of that higher thinking level. You know, we base people and we say, okay, you have this lower IQ, and then you have a medium, and you have a high IQ. But when based against the intelligence of the Creator and this universe, none of us are above grade kindergarten.
No.
You know, so we're all in that same place. So we have something to build on. That's the good news, is that we are here and we're all practically swimming around saying, I got an idea. I think I figured this out. Well, this kind of works and we're trying.
Yeah.
The only thing I think that we're missing is we're not realizing that together is where we do our greatest work. Together is where we get our greatest clarity, because, you know, it's like I've said before, the old adage of looking at you walk up to the forest and there's a great oak tree that stands before it, and you look at that oak tree and you can say, after standing there for hours upon end, you can say, okay, I know that oak tree, but you can only know that part of that you're seeing.
Yeah.
You cannot see the roots, you cannot see the canopy or any of the other things hidden, nor even though you can conceive that, okay, I have no understanding of that oak tree. I thought I did, but now I know where to get that knowledge at. I'll just go look at the root, and I'll look at the canopy, and I'll look at the rest of the tree. But we're still missing the big picture, because there's a forest behind the tree.
Yeah.
So we're still, that's what we've got to do. We've got to come together and realize that we're not as smart as we could be. That there is more potential that is wasted within us because we put it on these petty things that are not going to bring us to a place of clarity and understanding, you know, or understanding.
Neutrons, protons, and electrons in the chat room said you can see people's lies in their eyes. They say the eyes are the windows to the soul, which I agree. You know, you look at somebody's eyes, you can tell they're bold-faced lying. But yeah, I'm right there with you, Patty.
There's no way that one can look at another person and say you don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
And, you know, That's where we err all the time, because we think that we have a point that has to be proven, where all we have is a argument to bring up for discussion to find the truth of, you know.
Well, the reasoning behind the 1318 series was to get the gears in people's mind ticking, to see there's a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye. And, you know, for me to be able to see that, you know, I took a brain injury years ago. I told everybody about it. I got hit in the back of the head with a steel pipe. All right. Well, my world changed. I lost all concept of time. I couldn't tell you 5 minutes from 5 years. I can't distinguish how long I've been doing anything. If it wasn't for a clock, I'd be lost. and mathematically, I can't remember numbers. You know, I can, when I look at that clock, I can start rattling stuff off on that clock like you wouldn't believe. How does that happen? I believe that somehow or another, when that pipe hit me and my brain was messed up, that it somehow rerouted itself and opened something that wasn't open before. At least that I wasn't consciously aware of. You see what I'm saying? Like, there are people that have capabilities that do things that are mind-blowing, you know.
Of people that have had coma, woken up out of coma speaking a totally different language.
Yeah.
Never having learned it, but being able to speak it. That just shows you the ability that you have to get information to attach to that neural net that's out there called source, that energy that's flowing back and forth. There's knowledge in it. And, you know, you have a radio, and the radio is picking up a signal that is put through the air. You don't see it. It doesn't run along a wire. It is put through the air. And the air is put in, and you receive that signal as radiation, as an energy.
Yeah.
That's how the universe works.
Yep.
You don't see any cables joining everything, you know, man to plant to ocean to fish to planet. You don't see any cords. Nobody's plugged in. It's all done through frequency. It's all done through vibration. Everything works in unison, and everything is perfect. And that's, we go right back to the beginning of the show, don't we? She says,
yep.
That's where it all is at.
Our brain, our bodies are thermoelectric generators, the transmitters, receivers, and we actually, are resonating a frequency that, you know, when you're in tune with it, it's like a radio station. Just because you can't hear that radio station doesn't mean it's there. It's happening right now. All the TV stations, all the radio stations, your friends, your neighbors, and this medium that we're living in, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, if you so much as clap your hands, you send out a wave that it basically affects everything in this room. You know, the dust particles, bouncing off the walls just because I took and clapped my hands together, the acoustic wave, the wind pressure between my hands, and so on. So scientifically, this whole thing about being able to read somebody else's mind is not impossible. You're sending a radio wave out, talking to each other. You're sitting there on the couch next to your significant other, answering their questions before they ever even open their mouth. Because you can hear it, you can feel it, and that's amazing. You know, how do all these doggone ants and these bees communicate with each other without their voice? You know, they're sending signals out. They're basically telegraphing everything. Little antennas out there feeling around. They know what's around them. It's amazing. Now, how's all that an accident? That 1318 is not an accident. It is a mathematical code written so amazing that it can calculate up anything. And how did that get there on the wall? How does it explain the world that we live in? We're living in this world underneath a system that keeps us in bondage. And once you realize that, they lose their power over you. That's the whole thing. When somebody can sit there and talk you down, they can talk to you negatively and get you feeling all bad about yourself. The longer you listen to that somebody, you'll start believing those lies against you. And you'll start to be a different person than what you're meant to be. But if you don't believe those lies, you take those words and send them away from you and put the right ones back in your mind. I'm telling you, folks, you don't realize how powerful each and every one of you are. More powerful than you can possibly imagine. And that's just with your words. With your actions, the power of the pen, and the biggest power that you got is that love that's in your heart. You can give love away all day long, every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Go in a full 360-degree circle to everybody and his brother and never, ever, ever run low. That's amazing. That is powerful. It's hard for people to do you wrong when you're showing them love. You know, I'm sure there's some jerks out there that probably could pull it off. But for the most part, everybody that I've ever met, every single person that I've ever met actually has some good inside of them. Getting that good to come out because whatever happened to them in their life made them into a jerk or made them into a racist or a hateful or whatever. You know, and that demon on their back that makes them do just terrible things. There are people out there, I honestly believe there are demons in this world. You know, I don't know how to explain some of the terrible things that humans do to each other. You go to war and you go out there because you got to get the other team because they're going to come to get you and your family if you don't. That's what you were told. But that person you're shooting across that battlefield has a family of their own. They don't believe the way that you believe. They've been told a lie to get them to want to kill you. Just like you were told a lie to get you to want to kill them. And so we go out there and we holler our prospective country's name and wave our flags and burn the other guy's flags and we talk down to each other. You're the great Satan. No, you're the great Satan. Well, that great Satan over there is like the Jerry Springer of the darkness. Tells them in one ear, hey, did you hear what he said about you? Tells them in the other ear, did you hear what you said about him? And then they're in there fighting each other. And then the crowd's back there going, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. Why, these two people are destroying each other's lives. That's what the military-industrial complex does for you. That's what that dang circle, that 1318, one of the messages that it comes out of that whole deal. You got to break free of that matrix. You got to stop allowing those people that put trash in your minds to do it any longer. And if there's any goodness in you, you got to bring that goodness to light. You got to bring it up. You got to nourish that positive feeling inside you. That one that you know is right, that's the one you need to feed. Because if you feed that dark side with negativity or anger or hate or racism or any of that stuff that they throw at you and try to keep you all pitted against each other, then you will become that dark side. And it's so easy to go either way. Some of you might have one foot on the dark side and some of you might have one foot on the light. But you can't serve two masters is what the story says. You're going to have to choose which side you want to be on. Otherwise, we'll see the world that we see right now. Which we have babies in the world, we're told, that are starving to death. We got babies that are sick. We got people that can't have a home. We got people that are, you know, just impoverished and miserable, drugged out, and hating each other. This is what that system wants for you. Because every time you hate each other, every time you kill each other, every time you steal from each other, every time you break any of those Ten Commandments or any of the golden rules or just natural law, you start a ripple out there and they get paid. They get paid through the media that shows you constant negativity day after day after day after day. They're playing you like a banjo. They're coming out there, they're slapping the bee's nest, they're getting you all aggravated. Who did it? Why? Why did they do it? I'm going to go get them. And then next thing you know, it's the red team versus the blue team. Or you're out there on the battlefield and you're shooting somebody else's father or somebody else's child. Is that what you want for the future of humanity? The path that I saw, I pray we never get there. I looked so far ahead and I saw things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. I've seen things in this short lifetime. I'm only 54 years old. But I've watched horrible things. I've watched things that I don't even want to speak into existence. I don't even want to repeat. I want something better. And I can't get there alone. I can't do anything in this world without any of you. We all need each other. We're the pieces of the puzzle that make up that big picture. We are that gear and that machine that makes it tick. That's why I'm so passionate about this show. That's why it is that I do what I do. And I made a promise to you on the energy side, and I fully intend on keeping it. But on the opposite side of the spectrum, I'm a busy man because I'm trying to help everybody and his brother. I'm trying to put a smile on every face that I can get a smile on their face because I realize how important it is. That one smile, that symbol of the heart, that's what it's all about. The true gold. You can take all the diamonds and jewels and coins and paper money you got. Take everything that you think is so valuable, it hasn't got nothing on that heart. That's your true gold. And you see that little child run up and give you a hug and say, I love you, mama, or grandpa, or granddad, or whatever. That's the true gold. I wouldn't trade anything. Not all the money in the world or all the power. I wouldn't trade anything for that feeling. Because that's what keeps me alive. That's the true treasure of life. So how you ladies think about all that?
Well, I agree with you there. I love your, you know, your passion and your compassion. You know, I mean, yeah, it's, to me, it's all awesome what this whole creation is and our being here at this time. You know, I always say that no matter what's going on in the world, there's good things, bad things, ugly things, nice things. It's like the world is happening for sure. And I just feel it's just awesome because of this magic that we're discovering more and more about, you know. The way that nature is functioning so perfectly, the creation, you know, that awesome creation that this omniscient intelligence dreamed of and envisioned, and we're all part of that, and here we are. And I think that it gives me great hope, more great hope, because I do have hope. I don't feel defeated. Thankfully, I don't feel defeated. I might have a rough time now and then, of course, but there's something that, you know, all I have to do, like I say, always, is to go outside, go out on the land, go out to the mother, go to the water or to the forest or whatever. And that's where the medicine is, you know, we call that where the medicine is. There's where you can breathe, and there's where you will, fulfilling will come over you. You will feel nurtured there. You will feel healed there. And that's because that's where we belong. We don't belong really stuck in a square box, you know, and all covered up and so on and so forth, and riding around in cars and gas guzzlers and buying all this stuff, you know. It's really so important that we do go out on the Mother Earth. That's where our true nature is. We're part of nature, energy-wise, frequency-wise, Fibonacci-wise, megahertz-wise, the breath and the heartbeat of the Mother, the frequency of the Mother. We're all part of it. Which is awesome if you think about it. And so that tells us that we have some sort of engagement here automatically, and it's really important to be consciously aware of our engagement, of our participation, because we are being impacted and also impacting upon all of this wonderful creation. I think that we're the hope of our ancestors. I think we are the hope of this omniscient intelligence who created this everything, created us. I believe we are the hope.
I agree with that, and I want to add to that by saying our God didn't make any trash, only treasure. I don't see why any being that would give us something so amazing, which is this earth that we live on, would want us to trash it, would want us to trash each other. I'm thinking that we're here to learn. I'm thinking that if we ever learned the lesson, we can bring back that Garden of Eden. I honestly believe that with everything that I am.
Well, I believe that as well, and I believe that because we create our own reality, you know, that is a key thing to realize. What does that really mean, you know? And it doesn't mean that you ignore...
It means this is the reality we've created.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you ignore what is going on. It means that it is in your hands what you create.
Self-responsibility.
And what your life will be like, what your experience will be like. And part of your... Of course, your family and the people that are around you, when you participate... You know, from your heart spirit and with compassion and kindness and joy, that's you're adding to their experience as well. But it doesn't stop there. I have to keep saying that because of the energy and frequency that we are emanating whatever it is that we manifest, what we create, our reality, and that then is the pebble in the pond. And that runs out through the whole of the grid of the Mother Earth and touches all of life and creation into infinity. That's how I feel the soul works, you know. To me, it's awesome. To me, being here at this timeline, I'm not saying it's always easy, and there are challenges, you know, but there's something far greater going on here. If you just, you know, just recall what we just got done talking about, you know, about the sacred geometries and the Hertz numbers and the frequencies and energies and this creation. There is something far greater going on, and yeah, we call it the great mystery. And we have little pieces today that we've discovered here in this show. And I want to, yeah, I think it's really cool. I love being here, and I love to see everybody's participation and all the people here, people for people, and all the listeners. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think that the best thing that we could do to open up that door of knowledge, of garnering the knowledge, and finding the truth as we define it, because that's all we're ever going to do, is to realize that we're all the same. Nobody has any greater knowledge base than you do. It's what we allow. It's what we tell ourselves is possible. It's how we treat ourselves in the realm of possibilities. We can be defeatist simply by saying, I wish I could do that. I would like to learn how to do that, but I've never been able to do meditation. And, you know, those numbers are too hard for me to figure out. Just too much trouble, and we defeat ourselves. Well, somebody might think and take offense at what I said. Somebody might argue with me. They might not believe what I'm saying. That's where we defeat ourselves, and we don't measure up to our potential. You're here for a reason. Everybody is here for a reason, and every reason is valid. And your experiences, they count for something. They count as a part of the whole, and the understanding and understanding comes from sharing knowledge, not from feeling like you have nothing to offer. You know, this is our greatest travesty, is that we beat ourselves up and we kick ourselves in the corner and we refuse to stand up because we're afraid of the judgment that we're going to face. We don't want to be laughed at. We don't want to be belittled. And shame on those who would do that, who would say to another person, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, coming from a place of the same ignorance.
Yep.
If you want to put it that way.
I stepped outside the matrix. I won't ever step back inside the matrix, except maybe to come in and try to drag somebody out. Anyway, I'm sorry.
You know, I saw this meme the other day. I saw this meme that they were ragging on this white male privilege because this guy had rose to the ranks of a privileged executive who made X amount of dollars a year and lived comfortably with his is a wife and three kids, and how could he look down to this person and pretend that he had the right to tell this person how to make their life better, you know? And this is what is wrong, you know? We create a society that says that your worth is now based on your earning ability. We will judge you on your worth and success by how much money you can make. And then when we have people who aspire to that and who actually make it up that ladder and are making the big bucks, then we try to tear them down. We say you got no right to have that much money.
They call him a racist.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is, you know, why? Why do we have to find a reason to hate each other? Why can't we find a reason to love each other?
Well, let's just say that the whole world has two destiny paths. Let's just say hypothetically there's only two destiny paths. And I went on an amazing journey, and I looked as far ahead and as far back as I could possibly muster, as far as I could possibly stand, and I seen on this path where we're going right now. In the future, it ain't gonna matter what color you are. You're going to be just as miserable as the guy standing next to you on that path. But
that boot's going to feel the same.
On the other path where we're actually starting to lean towards this other path, that destiny doesn't, that negative realm doesn't have to come to pass. We can move, and we have been gradually moving over. And every time you do something like that, you create a new timeline, a new destiny. That's why I keep saying, and I know I'm probably going to be called a heretic, but I don't care, is that I don't believe that all the prophecies of doom and gloom are written in stone. I believe they were warnings. I would believe they said, if you go about this and you keep on this path, this is what's going to come, this is what's going to happen. But I believe that we were given the power to literally use our free will to choose our destiny. And you know, we're getting drug along by everyone else who's on the wrong path because we're part of them. We're getting drug along. But the more of us we get over here on this, the brakes are slowing down and we're not going off the cliff as fast as we were before, and we're starting to get the thing under control. The whole thing is, what we got to realize is that none of us have the power to solve all the world's problems by ourselves. We can solve as much as we can. We can do one positive pebble at a time and as many positive pebbles as we can do at a time. We can do amazing things by ourselves. But until we as humanity figure out that unity is the only way that we're ever going to be able to solve every single issue under the sun, then we're still on that path. You know, maybe we'll glance it and it won't be nearly as bad because a lot of us came over here, but we're going there together. And on the timeline that I look forward, what I saw, I don't want to have happen.
What if it's not important for us to figure out how to expand into a greater realm of technology and stuff like that, to learn to live within the bounds that we have right here, within the paradigms that we have here, because we still haven't got that down pat. We still haven't learned how the meaning of our body and to be able to respect our bodies enough to treat them well. We still haven't learned how to treat the earth well. We still haven't even learned how to treat the animals and the things that keep us alive. We still have not risen to the point of being responsible adults. We're still children. And how can we expect to gauge anything higher than that when we can't get the simple concepts of respect of life?
Yeah, well,
the prophecies, you know, I've always said the prophecies aren't written in stone. I feel that the prophecies come from people who carry wisdom. They receive guidance and prophecy, and they share this because you know, it's like a warning. This may very well happen if you don't change your behavior or your patterns, or this very well may be coming down the pike, you know, and it gives us an opportunity to reflect on our life, our behaviors. And also I want to say, we talk about be careful what you focus on and be careful what you believe, because you manifest it and you create it. So if you are in the doom and gloom mode about believing the prophecies that are doom and gloom, well then, yeah, you're feeding that, and you very well may be creating that and manifesting that within your own experience, just saying.
Well, you know, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. That's a huge task. And I got the faith
of
a mountain.
Well, you have to, that's not faith then, if you say that's a huge task.
No, I'm saying to move a mountain is a huge task, but all you have to have is that little faith to accomplish
that.
Yeah,
don't even let the words, this is the same again, don't even let the word, oh, that's a huge task, come into your thinking.
When it comes down to how we use electricity, nature balances everything out, and we've learned that if we do something, we can basically slap nature, and then nature will slap back. Well, we get electricity, but there is lower ranges that do the same exact job that will move those electrons around. You see it all the time in nature. All of nature uses electricity.
Well, yeah, the vibration and frequency of word and thought. Again, it's sort of like, what you believe, you manifest. Your words are powerful, so if you say, well, that's going to be hard, or that's huge, or maybe that, you know, that might be impossible, or I'm not sure, or supposing, or so on, you've already put out a frequency that negates the possibility, all possibilities. I mean, trust and faith, I guess, is that knowing that all possibilities exist, right?
Yeah.
That you can move that mountain. I mean, and that's your faith and your trust. There's no doubt about it, you know. And it's amazing. It's pretty extraordinary, the power that we have. That's what we have to keep remembering, the power of our beliefs and our words, right?
I believe in some point in history that we actually had a harmonious power source that we used to do things that were amazing, you know, before computers and all this electrical stuff that we got around. That we actually use that force of nature, which is electricity. Electricity is in nature. It's in your body. It's in the atmosphere. It's in the trees. It's in the plants. It's everywhere.
Well, our elders had mentioned that they used to levitate stones with the frequency of the eagle bone whistle. So when you talk about the question of scientists can't wrap their mind around how did the ancient people, these stone-wielding, you know, grunting people, you know, the primitive people, carry these monolithic stones for hundreds and hundreds of miles. Well, because they can't wrap their mind, they can't cross that gap, you know, that cavern that basically tells them that would be impossible to use frequency, to use sound or frequency to lift up a stone. But this has been done. This has been done and spoken of.
It's mind blowing. We haven't even scratched the surface of what we could do with technology. I'm hoping
we are indoctrinated.
Yeah, we've been told
we are indoctrinated to doubt immediately. It's automatic. It like it pops up. It's an automatic reflex. How severely we have been indoctrinated to doubt, to disbelieve something. For instance, when a doctor tells you, again, you're diagnosed with a disease and you're going to die in 6 months, all right, that's indoctrination. That's an imprint into your cellular experience. And if you believe in that, if you focus on that, that will be your experience. And that has been tested and noted and scientifically identified as that, right? So when you say to someone, but there is an alternative medicine that our people, you know, have used. It's four herbs that have been used very successfully, and that's just one. There's just one here. Now, there's many others, alternative medicines that have healed people from cancer that have been diagnosed and told they'd just go home and die. But if you say this to someone, they are indoctrinated already by the medical system and by society. The automatic response pops up in their cellular memory of that's not going to work. That's impossible. You see, this is how programmed we are. And it's deliberately to indoctrinate us to doubt all possibilities, to doubt the miracle, to doubt the power and the ability that we have.
Even the energy that we use, as far as what we call electricity, is destructive. We're not using it properly. We don't have to give up on computers. We just need to figure out a different way to use that energy more efficiently. We're not basically being destructive to it or nature. I'm hoping to show that. When I get my lab finished, I'm anxious to get this doggone thing finished because I want to show folks some things I've been trying to tell them for a long time. That the way that we're using electricity, it is destructive. And this is, the system doesn't care, because destructive means more money. It means that you pay a higher electric bill every single month, you know, and it's not necessary, because these appliances, they don't need near the amount of power that we're shoving to them in order to work. For Pete's sake, a digital alarm clock only uses 9 volts. And we're pushing 120 at it. So why? The way that we're pushing it at it, and it's causing that thing to get hot, you know? And that nature, when nature slaps back, it slaps back hard. It's going to produce heat. It's going to produce something, you know? And you can see it in the power. When you see a storm out there, when that lightning's crashing across there, that lightning is beyond powerful. It's amazing. There's so much energy in this world, it's mind-blowing. But if we learn how to tap into it the proper way, harmonious, like I believe at one time in history, we probably did. Because there were things that are just completely unexplainable, like what you said about those, like a statues on Easter Island. How did those big things get there, really? How did those pyramids get there? Who actually built those pyramids? We don't have the true history of anything. And so we shouldn't be sitting around arguing over anything. We should be trying to find out. We should be trying to seek these mysteries together. But see, we got this thing inside of us called an ego that just likes to get fed and say something nice about me and I'll feel good or whatever, you know. People have gotten used to that. They've gotten used to being the center of the universe. But they're not. So, I think, Barbara, you want to say something real quick before you have to take off?
Yeah, I'm sorry I got to go, being called. I just want to thank everyone again for staying with us here. And I thought this was really a wonderful, exciting show. And I love being on here with you guys, with my brother Shaz and my sister Patty. And I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be in ceremony, and I'll be praying for everyone and for all things and peace on in the world for everyone. So, yeah, thank you so much. Philomaya Doksha.
Wonderful as usual. Yeah, you have a wonderful dinner there, Barbara.
Thank you.
But anyway, what I was trying to say, though, you know, if we work in perfect harmony with nature, nature will reward us. I guarantee you that. And if I'm successful in what I'm trying to share with people as far as the energy portion goes, there's a lot of people out there that's not going to like it, I'm sure, because they make their money because it's a destructive system. They sell you more appliances because your appliances always fail. I'll save all that for Mad Science Show, but it's all the same. All of this stuff is the same. And all the things that we could do, if we could learn how to not only keep this world clean, but learn how to take care of each other like we should have been doing all along. A lot of us do. I mean, I know that Patty takes care of people and Barbara takes care of people, and everybody in that chat room probably got somebody they're taking care of. That's a good thing. That's what we were meant to do. And so, you know, I brought this 1318 code together not because I wanted to try to show somebody that I was a super genius of epic proportions or anything. I brought it together because I want you to realize. I want you to look. I want you to watch that thing and get those gears ticking in your head so that you know there's something more than meets the eye. Now, you don't have to look at it and think of it as in the same sense that I did. You know, but if it gets your mind going, if it gets you to look, step back and look at things differently in this world to see where you've been deceived and there's more to this world than meets the eye, if it sparks a little tiny flame inside of you or plants that seed that makes you want to go out there and do something better for yourself and your family and the rest of the world, then it was worth my time to do that. So, you know, that's what that's all about. You know, Patty, I think we're getting close to the doggone end there.
No, the fast 3 hours, I mean, that went by really, really fast, didn't it?
Yeah. I didn't even notice the time until I just looked down and I said, wow, we better start wrapping this thing up.
Well, Yolen's, Jerry, she put in the chat, she said, we had 6 of us around someone laying down and each put a finger or 2 fingers under them saying, you are light as a feather, over and over, and lifted the person really easy. That's power that we have. And we have to remember too that we come from a perfect system. I mean, we are part of that. We're not apart from that. We were a part of this perfect system. It's like a clocksmith who is able to put all of these gears, different sizes and shapes, and all intricately placed, and just they have to be so precisely placed in order for this piece of technology to work, to be able to work in the way that it was intended. And we're part of that clockwork. We're part of that piece that is so precise that fits in with those other precise points. I think our problem is that we like I say, we don't consider ourselves that important personally, individually. We don't consider that our worth is far beyond what society has put out there for us, the definition that they have defined us as. We forget that we have this ability to change our reality. We have this ability to learn and to comprehend complex structures and complex theories. We have the ability to take all of this information and bring it together and put it on a table and to discuss with each other and find the most miraculous ways to invent something that is of benefit. When we're left to our own devices, that's what we do. We create benefit. We take the initiative and we form our communities, and within those communities we create benefit. We're not there to get over on this person or that person. It's only when there's a structure brought in, a structure that says, okay, this is our ideology, this is the way we act, this is what we do, this is how we do it, when we do it, and why we do it, that things go haywire.
Yeah, and you know what, Patty? The corporations, the governments, and companies out there, they always go out there and pick the best of the best, and they're picking from all you people out there. They're grabbing you up because they see that you got talent, that you got something that they need. And whenever they get you to work for them, they get the benefits. You get a measly wage, they get the benefits. But when you take your talents and work with everyone else by yourself, you, the people, get the benefits. That's the difference. They realize your worth. Am I wrong?
No, look at what happens in the times when society is collapsed in a situation where I brought it up before Greenville, Kansas, that was totally destroyed by two tornadoes, one back to back, that completely destroyed the whole town. The town was completely destroyed. People that had lived there their whole lives and were generational there had lost everything. It was razed to the ground. All of a sudden, there were people from all over the United States that showed up in this town, not knowing anyone there, not knowing who they were, what color they were, what religion they were, what politics they were. They didn't care about that. That wasn't even mentioned. It wasn't even talked about. What they did is they came in and they hugged each other and they brought blankets and they brought gifts of food and compassion and housing, and they rebuilt a town. People came in with trucks. Corporations came in, local, not these big mega guys that don't give a darn, but these local people that came in and rebuilt this town. And you know what they did? Because they weren't structured by any government, any society that had rules and regulations, they decided that when they were going to rebuild this town, that it would be totally green, that it would be ecologically balanced. And they did it. And the people built this town. And it is still blooming. And the people there are beautiful. And the people there have children that are truly learning, that have a school that is willing to teach them how to treat the earth. You know, we have the leftists that are hollering and saying, oh, you're killing the earth, you're killing the earth, da-da-da. And they're right to a lot of extent. It's not to the point where they have to, they're wrong when they say you have no right to the earth. We have to be re-educated as to what we're doing to the earth. We have to stop the corporations from producing the goods that we are subject to have to buy that are damaging the earth. You know, to the regulatory system that says you can't grow your own gardens or you can't use your own rainwater. These systems are the ones that are in the wrong, not you and me.
Yep. When they want to tear it up, they come and get us. When they want to go to war, they come and get us. When they want to fix it, they come and get us. They're always coming to get us.
Yep. And we have to do their bidding, but when we don't do their bidding, we do great things.
That's it. When we work together, we do amazing things. That's the whole key right there. Folks, I hope you learned something from this show. I hope you actually humor me and go watch that 1318 series. I put it on my YouTube channel. There's a link inside the doggone deal right there. If you ain't subscribed to me, subscribe to me. That'll make me feel good. I'll be able to, you know, see that more people are getting this information. But go watch that whole 1318 series. You have to really focus on it and watch and read it, you know. You don't even have to agree with it. Just take a look at it. And you won't never look at a clock the same way ever again. And all six of those videos doesn't even scratch the surface. I couldn't fit it all in there. And when I first saw that deal on the wall and I saw what I saw and I tried to explain it to somebody, it's mind blowing. And to me it's just proof that this world that we live in, there's so much more than meets the eye, and that you have been used like you wouldn't believe. The actual movie, The Matrix, it turns out in that movie we were being used as batteries. Don't sound much different than the reality we're living in right now.
That's like Tommyknockers.
Yeah. You're going out and you're working and working and working for the system, and you're paying everyone and his brother and then some. The tax man's on your back, the lawman's on your back, everyone's on your back, and you're trying, all you want to do is have a little bit of peace, all you want to do is raise your family. And then you keep on going back and you work for that beast every time, because you gotta work to survive. Well, I submit to you that if you all got together and started working on things, you'd start your own businesses. You'd start your own communities, and you would start building you a dream team. You would take the best of all of what you got in your community, and you would make your community so much better, and everyone would look at you as the lighthouse. They would look at you as an example of what they would want to do. That's how you change this world. You're not going to change this world with a politician. That's why I told everybody, stop ragging on Trump, because Trump's just a man. He's a man who is fortunate enough to be filthy, stinking rich, and he could mouth off at anybody and his brother because nobody could own him because he already had everything he needed. He got a beautiful wife, a beautiful kid, lives a lavish lifestyle, and is now the leader of the free world. So he don't care what all these other politicians say. And he told the mainstream media just like it is. Am I saying he's perfect? No, ain't nobody perfect. All I'm saying is, if you hate that one man because of his status or something he might have said, you know, there's 10 or 15,000 other people probably 10 times worse than him to be in presidency. I mean, it's a mess. The whole left right paradigm, you know, the left wing and the right wing are connected to the same doggone bird. It's when we the people realize what we can do, that's when you're going to find that freedom. I'm saying get the heck out of the matrix while the matrix and while the getting's good. Step outside the box. Come out here, you know. I don't want to be your leader. I want to be your friend. I want to be your servant. I want to be your somebody that helps you out. I want to work alongside you. I don't want you working for me or me working for you. I want to work together. We all work together kind of thing. That's all I care about. Because I see the reality of what we got going on and where it's going. I took an amazing journey, both forward and back, and I've seen things I don't want to talk about. But I know that it's not written in stone, because every time you make a different choice on the right side, you move us that much further over on that other destiny path. We're capable of so much more than you've been told. You've been lied to, you've been propagandized, indoctrinated. They ain't told you the truth about history. They ain't told you the truth about anything. They told you what you needed to know to do a job to make them money, and what you needed to know in order to get you convinced that it was okay to go out and kill in another foreign land. That's what they do. They don't care, because the God that they serve ain't the God that you serve. And it don't matter even if you don't believe in God. Whether it's just the light or the dark, good or bad, it don't matter. It matters what side of the fence that you're on when this all comes down. That's what it matters. Where do you want to leave your children in the future? What do you want to leave for your children's children? I mean, even if you're a jerk, would you still want your children to go through suffering? That's your blood. That's your family. Would you really want them to have a future worse than the one that you had to deal with? If you're all angry and frustrated because you had a hard life, and so you use that as justification to be a bad person, oh, well, I had a hard life. That's why I act the way that I do. All right, well, break those chains, brother. Break those chains, sister. Get on out there and make sure that those futures that come after you don't have to go down that path. I wasn't around when slavery was around, but if I'd have been around, I'd have been one of the ones trying to hide them, trying to get them to freedom. I wasn't the one running around stealing each other's land. I wasn't the one out there hurting people and hanging people and chopping their heads off or shooting them down. I wasn't the one doing that. I'd have been the one out there to try to stand in the way. That's my spirit. That's my heart. And so wherever your heart lies, not everybody's got the courage to stand up when it's time to stand up. But you got to find that inner strength to do what's right, no matter what. Because what is at stake? It's not just your life. It's not just you. It's the future of all of us together. So if you're poking holes in your side of the boat while I'm patching holes on mine, just remember this. It don't matter what color you are, what background you're in, what religion or political side you stand on. When this boat sinks, we all go down together. And those folks out there want to tell you about all the doom and gloom and doomsday and all that craziness. They want you to believe that you don't have any hope. They want you to believe that there ain't no such thing as free energy. They want you to believe that they still haven't found a cure for cancer. They want you to believe all kinds of stuff. Why would they want you to know that there was a cure for the common cold if they want to sell you cold medicine? It's simple logic. These folks have been taking advantage of you. They've been playing on your heartstrings. And all the information from the Bible all the way down to whatever textbook or even the scrolls from past history, because they were written by man, are all questionable. I'm still going to call myself a Christian because I believe in what Jesus Christ talked about. And I believe he told us that we're more powerful than we can possibly imagine if we only truly believe. So, I'm not here to convert you or beat you over the head with the book. I'm just here to tell you I do believe in God. It's as simple as that. This world that we live in, the matrix that we've all had the displeasure of being raised in, it doesn't have our best interest at heart. You want to know who has your best interest at heart? Go look in the mirror. Look in your friend's eyes. Look in your mama's eyes. Look in your baby's eyes. Look in Patty's eyes. And Barbara. And myself. Those who have your best at heart. Those folks rushing in to save you. Those folks rushing in to give you food and blankets when things go awry. Those folks coming in there building your town back up after it got destroyed. Nature's fierce. But if you respect nature and you work in harmony with nature, we got the capabilities, we got the technologies to build houses that would withstand any tornado, any hurricane, any earthquake, anything. We know how to do it. We have the geometry, we have the tools, we have the materials. So if we know it's prone to getting blown over, we can make sure that those folks will be safe if it does come around. They build bunkers for a reason, so that the bombs don't kill the people inside. And you know that the elitists out there have bunkers. You know that the government has bunkers. You need to get out there and build each other bunkers. Build each other arcs. Build each other a community that takes care of each other and watches each other's back. It's as simple as that, and that's what the Knights of the Round Table stands for. Patty, you want to be the last one to say some words of wisdom?
Well, I guess what I need to say is that what an awesome adventure. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything. If you're out there and you wonder, why the frick am I here? What the heck am I doing here? It's for the adventure, you know? If you can't find another reason, just think of it as that. Hey, you want to sing the Na 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 song?
Sing it.
Let's go together. Come on, sing it with me. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Come on, you can sing it.
Oh, I'm with you.
Ready?
No,
she's not going to sing it. What? Say hi, Sarah.
I was trying to sing it with you, but I don't. Oh, man.
If you sing the Na 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 song.
There you go.
Okay.
See, that's what it's all about, Patty.
That's what it's all about. That's a joy, you know?
Yeah.
The joy. Don't ever pass a moment up. Don't ever pass a moment up to be happy. Don't ever do it. It's well worth it. You won't regret it. Just say.
Well, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you was inspired or interested by anything you hear, you want to share that message, it'd be greatly appreciated. Go watch that entire series of, I made a playlist on my YouTube channel, the 1318, if you're interested in that, check it out. It'll get your gears ticking inside your brain.
That's right.
And there's a lot of other stuff, and you'll know it when you see it. But either way, folks, if you like this, share it. If you don't, thanks for joining us anyway. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Take care.
And that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boys, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back!
Does anybody else want to stay?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great
old
one.
Old woman!
Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
The Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.